It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this 24th day of March 2021. There are exactly 7 days remaining in this month, and it looks like, well, unless we get that, and they have happened, one of those freak Easter snowstorms when, you know, Easter freaks bring buckets of snow to West Virginia. Spring may be here. Oh, my goodness gracious, Agnes, that did have to chase me in today. I was a little drained after yesterday, and it's not just total bluebird here, but looking out the horn color weather window, I can see blue skies, and what's more, it's every bit of 74 degrees outside, and ooh, I want to be in it. I do, but no, I want to be here too, and being here wins out. There will be more sunny days, and so no hooky. No hooky, Robin. No hooky. 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 H-O-O-K-Y. Damn it. Quit it. Anyway, hi, I'm Robin, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. We have reached midweek. We've reached downhill to Friday, hump day. Yes, and it's been a nice day in the... Cathedral of Common Sense Fellowship Hall kitchen. Mm-hmm. As the little old blue-haired ladies set about working to send out the carry-out boxes that the little old blue-haired men drive around to various and sundry recipients. And they did a fantastic job. They did one of the it's like a cross between a casserole and a souffle. It's baked, and it's got eggs and bacon and cheese and grits and like the whole corn and onions, and it's all baked together, and it fluffs up really pretty, and it's delicious, and not a terrible idea, Ralphs. I've toyed with that from time to time, setting up an outdoor studio. I would love to do that, but not with clouds in the sky and electronicals. No, because things could go south real fast. True. Thank you, Lee, proving that you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation who doesn't have a filthy mind. No hockey either. No, there will be no hockey. And thank you, Rusty. There he is, the first Robin of spring. Right. Yep. Don't want to get ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. First of all, thanks to everybody who responded to Paul from Parts Unknown's challenge. And then thank you to our pal Harold's chairman and CEO and president of Sotstras, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, for getting us caught up all the way to this day. I cannot express how relieving that is. And so thanks also to our subscribers for this 24th day of the month. That means thanks to Josh and thanks to Samson. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks as well to Pam in Washington State. Thank you. And thanks to Jessica jumping in. Thank you very kindly. That means tonight's fundraising goal is at $290. $290, and we stay even, and we remain on an even keel for getting to the end of March in good stead. Thank you all so very much indeed. I got another email from Paul from Parts Unknown, and I need to answer some questions, and I will do that probably after the program this evening. Silent R. Lamar, you do what you got to do. We'll see what happens with the phone lines come about an hour from now. I'd like to get things squared away and set up and get the filler lobster rolling and see what the mood of the community is, right? Yeah. And of course, I've got Robin, rock the world. Last night's show was off the charts entertaining, informative, and interesting. Hearing Paul from Parts Unknown with all his wonderful informative wisdom was a perfect start to the evening, flanked by some great emails from Billable Rick and Megan. Paul from Parts Unknown really spends a ton of time with his emails, as they're very thorough and full of depth and great information. And it's almost like a Hall & Oates song. Oh, here he comes. Yes, the last time Paul posted one of his well-done emails, I think Joey referred to the email as being a long correspondence. I assure you that critique was not meant as a criticism, but Joey just used the word long because, me being a giraffe and all, I like long objects. I think that I, Joey the Jeffrey the giraffe, speak for the entire horn community when I say we really enjoy the thorough and well-considered advice and notes of admonition and caution conveyed to the community from Paul from Parts Unknown. Besides, if my uplink GPS giraffe piloting sensor is correct, I do believe Paul works or lives on Long Island. Thank you, Paul, for your thoughtfulness, and the whole community is having a sad that you're unable to see your wife during these times. Thank you, Giraffe. But you're well, you know, you're a little long-winded. Well, it takes a long time to get the breath all the way up from my lungs, which are down by my toenails, all the way up my neck to my mouth, and vice versa. So, of course, I'm long-winded. And Joey continues, after last night's show, you felt the need to apologize. I was actually offended with the apology rather than your outrage and incisive remarks concerning the asshole judge in Boulder. Hell, Robin, your sentiments rocked the Horn family last night as you were like a rock star with your passion. Oh, dear. Here's Jeffrey with a Denver Nugget. Denver Nugget, really? Come on. Oh, the llama can barely move. Yes, this Boulder judge has rocks for brains for allowing the assault weapons ban to be overturned in his community. I think justice would be done if a boulder came down and landed on his head. Or maybe a bolt of lightning would strike him and turn him into rock salt, considering his legal motion was a real, wait for it, slab in the face to the community. Okay, that's a real... I will not speak for the rest of the Horn community, but Jeffrey and I found your outrage completely appropriate. We are totally riveted, moved, and in complete agreement with your expressions, as well as the tone with which you presented them. If nothing else, at the very least, that judge should resign the robes and resign himself to a life of helping the families who've lost loved ones due to gun violence. By the way, Jeffrey just loved that song by the Drive-By Truckers, Thoughts and Prayers. He's been just a tapping his hoof, cloven, isn't it? Singing all day long on his prayer meeting Wednesday. Tramp the dirt down, Jesus. You can pray the rod they'll spare because you can stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers. Oh, Robin, you've just got to play Paula White tonight. Strike, strike, strike. Jeffrey just loves that one. Well... That's Jeffrey. I don't know if I've got it in me. Your comments about Ted Cruz were outstanding. Pray tell, here's Jeffrey again. It appears Cruz was outraged by the fact that most people are sick of the thoughts and prayers bullshit. Cruz claims he prays for people at times. No, try again, Ted. You pray on people, not for them. On this day in 1973, Pink Floyd's album Dark Side of the Moon was released. Wow! Oh, dude. The album was actually recorded at the Beatles' Abbey Road Studios in London. The album is now the sixth best-selling album of all time, having sold over 40 million copies. And it stayed in the top 100 for, Jesus, decades. Now, Jeffrey the Rock Critic, on the other hand, I really loved Pink Floyd and also Jethro Tull of the time period because they were considered, well, you know, they were considered progressive rock, prog rock. Yeah, interesting you would mention those two, Jeffrey, because the Roger Waters of Pink Floyd handed no small amount of criticism to Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull for going and playing concerts in Israel, you know, while a million people live in an open-air concentration camp in Gaza. Yeah. On this day in 1972, scientists were studying rocks from all over the East Coast regions of America, including Nova Scotia, Connecticut, New Jersey, Georgia, and South Carolina. They didn't find too much progressive rock in South Carolina, but in any event, they compared the rock from the west coast of Africa, most specifically Gibraltar, Morocco, in an attempt to discover the likelihood of the continents actually being connected at one time millions of years ago. And that would be something we could talk to our dear friend Terry about. She knows all about the whole breakup of Pangaea. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. One side of the planet lost all its Bruce Springsteen albums in the breakup. Yeah. I'm ashamed. I won't do that again. But Jeffrey wraps it all up. However, the scientists had to halt the study because the Southern Baptists in Georgia and South Carolina complained to the authorities that the world was only 6,000 years old. Yep, it's prayer meeting Wednesday for all those dumb bastards. The scientists were not too upset, though, because they were progressive rockers and had a great time partying at the Rock of Gibraltar, and they met some wonderful North Africans and did some more rocking. More rocking. Okay, that's good. At the Casbah. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 24th day of March, 2021, with Jeffrey rocking the Casbah and mooning the cruise bot that is Ted Cruz. Here. And so there's a $20 Joey and Jeffrey's progressive rock challenge on the table. And if met, that will take us down to, let's see, $240 to go to finish the evening. Thank you. Joey, thank you, Jeffrey. Much obliged. I had a note from Randy Radar saying the rental moratorium runs out in 7 days, unless it's renewed, you know, by the Congress. Just watch people lose their shit then. Plan on staying home the entire month of April. Because people will be out, you know, in the streets, spreading the disease. And in line with our previous progressive rock theme, hold you in his armchair, let you feel his disease. Don't come together. Stay apart right now over me. Yeah. I don't know if Joey and Jeffrey are listening live, but I think that giraffe will enjoy the hell out of that little bit of something or another there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren, and here in the vacant Cathedral of Common Sense, the empty Cathedral of Common Sense, empty, low, for over a year now. We've been delivering sermons to an empty room in an imaginary cathedral that is dedicated to an imaginary deity. Don't tell her I said that. Jesus Christ, what am I thinking? And, so like I said, the coming of spring, it brings people out. I've seen pictures of friends of mine from down Talabama way. We're getting their shots. And like I said, Agnes and I get our second shot of Pfizer a week from tomorrow. And we're both terribly, terribly, terribly excited. And it's going to be a good feeling. But again, a reminder, that doesn't mean it's all over. It means you've got your second shot. Now, theoretically, about 3 weeks after, 2 to 3 weeks after that second shot, you will have developed, we will have developed, what passes for immunity to this, but the science is still out as to whether one will be immune to the multiple variants, you know, the England virus or the LA virus or the South Africa virus. Because, I mean, that's how we do this, right? According to COVID Caligula, you name the disease after whoever it was that that got it started, right? No, it's still racist as fuck. Yes, right. Okay, just checking. So, just stay safe. Just stay safe, like Paul from Parts Unknown said. God, it's so important. Let's see here. Where to begin? Oh, I think I've got a pretty good idea. We spent a lot of time yesterday evening talking about what happened in Boulder and how what happened in Boulder happened. And, of course, you know there's going to be some awfulness that comes out of it beyond the blood and the death and the misery and the grief. And nobody can make something miserable quite like a Christian. Ah, okay. A little clarification coming from Randy Radar. That's not what I meant. Would people like a side of hot lead with their carrots? It's apparently what happens with the rent moratorium coming. When people lose their shit because they can't pay the accumulated rent, they go and shoot up things like grocery stores. I hope that does not happen. I sincerely hope that does not happen. Really hope that doesn't happen. I'm sick of these miserable blood-soaked shooting sprees. Because the shooting sprees themselves are a horror. And then so too is the aftermath. Oh, by the way, Steve in New York says, I just had my second shot, so I'm skeptical that this is a cause, but my shoulder blades and lower back have been aching progressively more in the last 30 to 60 minutes. Well, I'd hate to think that that's a progressive ache myself, Steve, and it would certainly depress Giraffrey to hear you say that. But it's entirely possible. Get on the Gatorade, Steve. Pound that Gatorade. I'll have a big load of that, a big load of a quart of Gatorade for Agnes a week from tomorrow, and I'm going to try to find some sugar-free Gatorade, and hopefully the potassium won't bother me. My potassium's really good right now. That's one of the good things. The things that aren't so good are the A1C and the triglycerides. But they're going to come back down because I can look and I can tell that it is largely a function of winter. Winter does that to me, and I'm not going to let it happen again. Winter is depressing, and I sit around and I eat my feelings for 3 months, and that just can't happen. But anyway, in the aftermath of any massacre, you've always got some Christian who's willing to, and able, to make things, oh, so much worse. Mm-hmm. After the shooting, a pair of individuals, Nevin and Quinlan Sloan, who survived the massacre, showed back up in search of a TV camera, apparently. They came back to pray, they said. Yeah. They came back to pray, I don't know, for everybody. You know, everybody. That's who they came back to pray for. Check it out.
Just outside the barricade. Any update on when we're going to get information from the PIO?
Yeah. We haven't gotten information yet from the PIO. We have just been walking around, chatting with people that witnessed this. And I'm going to take you over here to two people.
You know what's coming, don't you? It's the inevitable reporter finds somebody to stick a camera and microphone in front of. It happens after tornadoes. It happens after any disaster. And somewhere, the mortal remains of Mark Twain are spinning in the dirt. I suspect that... Is that would that be Hartford, Connecticut? Maybe Darlene knows. I don't, because this goes back to some of the more bitter writings of Mark Twain, namely the War Prayer and Letters from the Earth. I'll find the exact text that I'm thinking of. It's not that long a piece. No, I don't want your plagiarism essay example. There it is. Anytime you need it, it's always handy, and the War Prayer comes in handy. It's at warprayer.org. And it features the prayer for, The burden of the prayer was that an ever-merciful and benignant father of us all would watch over our noble young soldiers and aid, comfort, and encourage them in their patriotic work, bless them, shield them, yada, yada, yada. Make them strong and confident, invincible in the bloody onset, help them crush the foe, yada, yada, yada. And then the stranger shows up to tell them that the Almighty has heard their prayer. Ponder this, the stranger says. Keep it in mind. If you would beseech a blessing upon yourself, beware, lest without intent you invoke a curse upon your neighbor at the same time. If you pray for the blessing of rain on your crop which needs it, by that act you are possibly praying for a curse on some neighbor's crop which may not need rain and can be injured by it. Yes. And so, with that in mind, well, the reporter found the Christian.
People that were inside of the store, and they heard some of these shots, and I just want to get right into this. So if you can just let me know, what did you see when you were inside?
So we were just a normal day at the store, just going in and getting mushrooms and milk, and we were separated at first, but I just sort of...
He's smiling. Now, this is in the direct aftermath of the slaughter of 10 people, and Christian dude here in what is probably a $150 Arc'teryx zip-up hoodie. I know. I've looked at him. I don't own any. Is grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. This young white couple. Mm-hmm.
Big bang. And I was like, it's kind of weird. Like, I didn't know if it was like a gunshot or whatever, but I was just, it was like probably 3 seconds before we heard another, just like bang, 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 bang. And I immediately sprinted over to her and was like, hey, we got to get out of here, and like pushed open the emergency door. And I like told her to run and,
And, you know, he spread it over to her, and then he told her to did something. And she is standing there with the camera rolling, and she looks nothing so much as like, maybe a character from the early Saturday Night Live. You remember when they did the sketch about Mommy Dearest, right? Yeah. And, and she stood there, you know, Gilda Radner. Stood there with that sort of bemused look on her face and her mouth tightly closed. And
I ended up leaving her, which she really hated, but I went back and just was by the exit, just making sure that people were getting out, because I remember seeing like an older woman that was there, and I was like, yeah, come here. Like, I don't even know if she like heard the gunfire, but She was like in shock. She was
like,
and yeah, like I think it's just like eye opening for everybody.
Yeah, mass murder. That's eye opening. All right, sure.
Listen, I don't know if there are any media producers in the Horn Family Community Congregation or camera. No, I know there are camera people in the Horn Family Community Congregation, and I'll bet they would agree with me when I say that eyewitness man on the street interviews get really awkward really fast. And of course, the reporter in this case is not in the shot or anything. And I'm hoping that he's standing there cringing, because this gets a little more cringy by the second.
I think it really just like convicts us a lot, because like we really want to share the gospel with people and like share Jesus and like the love that he has for people. And
this is not the time. No, Nevin, this is not the time to share the love of Jesus, because apparently there were 10 people in that grocery store that Jesus didn't think so highly of, because he let them get blown away by a dude with a gun who had just purchased it 6 days earlier after the assault weapons ban fell off, and took it into town where he would have been stopped. But we went over that yesterday, didn't we? And just one of the things, we just like, you know, want to share Jesus. I'm pretty sure in this in Colorado, the first of the legal weed states, legal recreational weed states, I'm pretty sure Nevin here either sparked up a number in the name of Jesus before going to the grocery store or after. And I'm really just worried about Quinlan Sloan, who stands there as mute as Lot's wife having been turned to a pillar of salt. Because remember, in Christianity, a woman is to remain silent. And if she has any questions, she is to wait until no one is watching and then ask her husband. What do you want to bet this guy goes to one of those privileged non-denominational evangelical mega churches? I just bet, because even when they're coming off all loving and warm, you know, like, and want to share Jesus's love, yeah, and you know, there's so much privilege that goes into this, and this is a bad look, and it only gets worse. I mean, let's back up a skosh. Because he really said, you know, I want to share Jesus's. You know, a good time to share Jesus's love would have been if Jesus would have made a big old bulletproof shield around 10 people while the bullets were fucking flying. Oh, I'm cussing again.
She was like in shock. She was just in crazy shock. And yeah, like I think it's just like eye-opening for everybody.
Yeah, it's eye-opening when the bullets fly. I mean, like, you know, we realize that, you know, the Second Amendment is a real thing, and, like, people can get guns, and they can go to King Super, and they can shoot up the grocery store in the name of... It's eye-opening.
I think it really just, like, convicts us a lot, because, like, we really want to share the gospel with people and, like, share Jesus and, like...
Yeah, not the time. I'm just going to say again, not the time.
The love that he has for people, and... Like, we just never know when they're going to go. Like, we could walk past someone during the day, and they could die later on that day, and, like, they didn't know who God was, you know?
Did you
and
see the shooter?
No, we didn't see him.
Yeah, okay, we got a fact-based question. Did you see the shooter? No, we're just here to minister the gospel and share our testimony. Hush, woman. And, you know, Boulder is the home of the University of Colorado. And you would think that there's a pretty progressive population there, because that often is the case in the towns where state universities are, unless maybe it's like, you know, certain stand states. But again, as a variety of folks have pointed out, a variety of folks from Colorado, for some reason or another, the evangelicals landed en masse in Colorado and established a hell of a beachhead. Truly a hell of a beachhead. And I don't know. Probably nobody out. Tell me, you know, if you're in the Colorado area, is there any kind of is there any kind of, or are people afraid of criticizing these obnoxious Christians when they behave obnoxiously? Oh, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says Jesus couldn't have shielded the 10 people at King Soopers. Jesus was the shooter. Remember, the guy's name is Alessa, which means the Jesus. Don't fuck with the Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Brother Deacon, for the reminder and editorial correction.
But we saw people like running towards us, like towards the back, because I think that was the safest place. But we did talk to someone that was at the front that had just walked in and
saw someone.
He said that
she speaks. Her line is "saw someone go down." She's probably still traumatized, but you know her good Christian husband is. I think we've got. It's one of those. It's one of those little Professor Spicoli moments.
I'm so wasted.
Wait a minute, Spicoli sounds a lot like young Nevin here, doesn't it?
I'm so wasted.
Yeah.
Saw someone go down, and it's just a terrible thing. But
what do you remember after the gunshots and that when you were running out? What do you remember seeing?
So, she ran off. I told her just like get the heck like miles away from here. And I stayed like in the back area, like
heck, you know, because you can't. You get the heck away from here. I'll wait for Jesus.
Where a ton of people were coming through, because I was like, dang, this guy could like come out and start shooting.
Dang. Yeah, see, they teach them in the mega church. You don't say hell, you say heck. And you don't say damn, you say dang. Right. I know all of that.
And these guys, I want to make sure they're like as far away as they can be. And so another guy named Michael, he was great. He was lovely, but we were helping people get away. And
what? Who was lovely? He was what? And yeah, huh? You get the idea this was the most exciting, fun thing that ever happened to young Nevin in his short existence heretofore. I just forget, huh?
Theory, because I was like, dang, this guy could, like, come out and start shooting these guys. I want to make sure they're, like, as far away as they can be. And so another guy named Michael, he was great. He was lovely, but we were helping people get away. And
this guy named Michael, you know, hey, there's an angel named Michael. I mean, maybe it was the angel Michael. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, Rusty pointing out it's Colorado Springs that's churched up, but I think the disease has spread. It's great.
I remember seeing more people run away, the cops coming up. Like, their response was awesome. Like, thank God for these guys.
How fast would you say it was until police arrived?
It was probably like...
Probably like
2 minutes?
Two minutes.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes.
She got two lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Everybody really just has a moment to think about their hearts and where they're at with God, and just to know that like Jesus loves them and is crazy about them. I don't know.
Whoa. In the middle of being shot at by a guy with an AR-15 or something perilously similar thereto, young Nevin here, maybe he's in shock. Maybe I shouldn't be so uncharitable. Maybe I should be, I don't know, better than the Christians are. Maybe I should think that people say silly, stupid things when they're in shock and... Yeah. I mean, God is so good, you know? I mean, that's what I was thinking about. The bullets were flying and none of them were hitting me. And I was thinking, you know, God, you really love me. You must not have loved those other 10 people.
We saw a live stream of a couple of people on the ground. I think there's like around 10 that we saw like on the live stream. There was like four in the parking lot.
Like in the front of King Sleepers, and then there were some like in like.
Last question.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. And the reporter blows by by his poor wife, too. I mean, just trying to tell where she saw it. And, yeah, okay, thanks, lady. Back to you. Do you have an altar call message, Nevin? Do you have an altar call message for people watching this who didn't get their universe ended today?
Of course.
Now you're out here witnessing this.
Mm.
What's going through your mind right now?
Wait, whoa. Listen, reporter dude. Don't use the word witnessing, especially not the participial form, around an evangelical Christian. Don't do that, because he's about to give you his TED. Oh, what? Witnessing? Oh, yeah, we're witnessing. Here, let me witness right now.
The only reason we came back is because we want to just sit up there and pray for everybody. Because I know that, like, this can be such a scary thing without God. Because people don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was scary with God, too. Or maybe what young Nevin is saying here is that the people who got shot deserved to get shot because they didn't have enough God. Yeah.
I don't know where they're going unless we tell them about it. Like, if they die tomorrow, they don't know if they're going to go to hell or if they're going to go to heaven. But, we also came out just to comfort people. We just want them to know that they're safe and that Jesus is with them. So that's what we're thinking about.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I really
of course.
Appreciate
yeah.
it.
I appreciate it too.
So that was just...
Yeah. Just wanted to know Jesus is with him. I mean, like, you know, you can come to our church, like, on Sunday, and, like, on Wednesdays we have dinner in the fellowship hall basement, and, like, you know, so the little old blue-haired ladies, they make a really mean Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes, and we all get together on Wednesday, and it's really delicious, and sometimes there's pie. Now, bear in mind, the families of 10 people are already in hell. And it is not some otherworldly hell. It's a hell right here, right now, on this planet. Who was it? Was it Albert Camus? Who said hell is other people? Well, we got a couple of layers of that right here. Hell is other people. Maybe our intrepid young reporter couldn't find anybody else to talk to. And maybe he was just tired of saying the same thing over and over. Here, let's look, they're walking around. They want to talk to us. Here, let's stick a camera in their face. And like, people don't know where they're going unless we tell them about it. I mean, it gets so scary without God. What kind of nerve does it take to think that people don't know about God in a country that has more churches than schools, more churches than hospitals, more churches than doctor's offices? How is that possible? He wasn't moved by the spirit, young Nevin here. He was moved by the ego. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, young Nevin made the rounds. He found another microphone and camera to talk into. At which point he said, yeah, we just want to, like, comfort them and let them know that, like, Satan hasn't won today. Like, even though this evil thing has happened, like, Satan hasn't won. Jesus has won and God has won. I think this is even proof of it, like, how beautiful these mountains are right now. No shit, really. Oh, and this is all that toxic Christianity that infests this country right now. 10 people are dead, bled out on the floor of a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. And this young, twisted Christian freak thinks that it's merely a byproduct of a greater metaphysical, universal struggle between good and evil. And they talk like that in these evangelical mega churches. You know, Satan hasn't won today. And even within a pop culture framework, not today Satan has become a thing. You know, it's on people's T-shirts. You know, I did it myself the other day. I accidentally dragged a certain particularly sensitive part of my body across a doorframe and yelped and immediately said, "Not today, Satan!" Okay, fair enough. You know, when you build yourself as a knower of words for years and years and years, you are going to get caught from time to time. I'm going to be an ass here, says Steve in New York. Wondering there was not a participle. It was a gerund. Oh, God, yes, gerunds. The bane of my existence. You think you've got a good proper participle nailed down, and along comes somebody, and no, that's a gerund. You fail. That's all yours, Steve in New York. All yours. Yes, it is. Billable Rick wants to know, is that bystander dude Nevin on acid, shrooms, ecstasy, or a combination of all three? No, Robin, you shouldn't be better than Nevin. His affect is totally inappropriate for a live shooter situation. I do. You know what? You raise a very valid possibility, because at the beginning, remember, at the beginning of the, you know, we just come to the grocery store for some shrooms. And as to the pillar of salt, Lee in New York says, you know, if the Bible was written today, it would have said his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of Himalayan pink salt. Yes, from Paramus, New Jersey. Yeah, right, yeah. Or I don't know, what's the other one? The South Pacific, like Indonesian black salt or something. Yeah, uh-huh. David in South Carolina says, the Camus quote reminds me, I'm bad and I'm going to hell, and I don't care. I'd rather be in hell than anywhere you are. That line from William Faulkner. And being Faulkner, you got to say it in an entirely different fashion, and I apologize for not getting it right the first time. But David will understand, as will the other members of the Behind the Cornpone Curtain contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. I'm bad, and I'm going to hell, and don't care. I'd rather be in hell than anywhere you are. Hey. That just, somehow or another, that gets a cowbell. Yeah. You're going to get yelled at. Dang it. Darlene in Connecticut's going to yell at you, Billable. Because Billable says, Devin, the bystander dude. Has anyone seen Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys and bystander Nevin in the same room together? Darlene loves Bubbles, Billable. You should know that by now. You will be cussed out by email in probably the next 60 seconds or so. Please don't let me down, Darlene. Please don't let me down, Darlene. Please don't let me down, Darlene. Interview. Oh, wait. Back up. Forget my prior sentiment. That worrying they were going to hell or heaven comment instantly evaporated my sympathy. It says Steve in New York of the weird Jesus guy. The prior sentiment being weird Jesus guy. I was willing to give the guy a lot of leeway for smiling, etc. I've seen people react to grief and shocking things like this in really weird and surprising ways. However, my compassion went really off the rails when he went all, it was time to share Jesus. What the fuck? I know. Oh, go ye unto all the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are just some times that the Great Commission is not appropriate. Mm-mm. No. No, this is when you do the James thing. The faith without works is dead part. And instead, he's a spectator looking around to do the faith part. Ugh. Hey, Nevin, go somewhere else to get your munchies. And take your little prayer partner with you. Oh, dear God, your little prayer partner. That's only sexist as fuck, Dave. Nevin, you're the biggest idiot I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of idiots, including a lot of gospel shows, which you probably listen to. Now, I've trained as an atheist faith healer and exorcist, and I say this as sweetly as I can. The power of reason compels me to call you a dumbass. The power of reason compels me. The power of reason compels me. The power of reason compels me.
Signed, your favorite unbelievable unbeliever, Dave and the Blind, down at the shop with the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have a new customer in Nevin there. He seems like the type, Dave. I'd leave the light on, just like Motel 6, if I were you. And Matt in San Francisco, subject line, interview. I'm so glad the network spent their time on interviewing this guy. They could have spent the time slot on educating people on our current gun laws. Where's the click? Where are the clicks in that? Because that's the eternal question now. Does it have clicks? But like I said before, this is no different than anything that happens after any disaster. And once in a while, something will happen to sort of diffuse them. But it mostly, you know, the tornado comes through, blows away every house in the neighborhood but one, and there's one person standing there going, I just want to thank God for sparing me while he killed all my neighbors. Mm-mm. Oh, no. If you were a real Christian, you'd probably be questioning your faith. Hey, you, why'd you do this? Well, because your great big bearded and invisible juvenile delinquent in the sky has no power over the forces of nature. None. Nope. Those are all controlled by lesbians and gay folks and trans people, you know, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, floods. Remember, it was all the wicked people who brought on the flood in the first place back in Genesis. God looked down and there was Noah and Mrs. Noah, and you know they only had sex with the lights on, and it was always the missionary position and right. But everybody else was out having a high old time. Yeah. That's how that works. Yeah, Billable, Steve the Grammar Nazi strikes again. I had that coming. I earned that. Not today, Diane. that was uttered on RuPaul's Drag Race by that season's winner. Bianca Del Rio was her name. Not today, Diane. Yeah. And Mark Twain is so correct in all of this. Mm-hmm. Careful about what you pray on people when you pray for yourself. Exactly. And Ralph's noted the upspeak and the vocal fry and she was in crazy shock. Talk about Valley Boy. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The whole church probably sounds like that. No, Jimmy, that was not our little Nutmeg McCain in that interview, although it could easily have been. That's a good line, Randy Radar. I can swear there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell. All right, damn it, says Darlene in Connecticut, not letting me down. Billable, Bubbles sounds nothing like that shroom Spicoli Fast Times at Ridgemont High Christian dude. And see other email on Twain. Yes, Mark Twain, who is probably rotating at Large Hadron Collider speeds about now. Twain is buried at Woodlawn Cemetery in Elmira, New York. Darlene says, we got the house, not the body. Yeah, he was. Elmira, New York is where his wife's family were from, I think. Stop it, Robin. Lee in New York says, Noah was a drunk, but he was the best God could find. Yeah, I gotta save one of them. He'll do. You know, it's gonna suck when he's... Because remember, God knows all and sees all. Past, present, future. He's like a magic eight ball that actually works. Back then. And so, you know, there he is. Noah and Mrs. Noah, they're going to have to do that. Those three boys of theirs, though. Yeah, I'm going to save them, too, because I got to save the remainder. There's going to be somebody to populate the earth again. But, it's going to suck when Ham sees his father in his nakedness, and I have to
turn him black and curse him by being black and cast him out into the earth. And that's going to suck. I don't know. Why do I let me do these kinds of things? Get the idea that, you know, he's a little bit of a nutter. God, yeah. But that's okay. When it comes to evangelicals, they kind of all are. Saw something a little bit earlier today. And just by way of explanation, when I leave here to go down to my place of my raisin. No, it's not somewhere that I have put a raisin. It's the place where I was born and raised. When I go down to the place of my raisin, there's two routes I can take. I can either go down the West Virginia Turnpike to I-81, take I-81, and et cetera, down to a little hunk of I-40 in Knoxville, Chattanooga, a little bit more, and then you get off the interstate and you take U.S. 72 across North Alabama, and bang, there you are in the shoals. But the way I usually go, because it's just so long and so damn desolate that way, they're almost identical distances. It's kind of weird, math and geometry and all that stuff. The other way I go is to head on down the mountain, pick up I-64 westbound, take that to Lexington, Kentucky. You get on New Circle Road and you loop around Lexington. And eventually you get on the Bluegrass Parkway. Take the Bluegrass Parkway down to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and that's where you pick up I-65 southbound, and you're off to the races, and you have to go to the whip just to get on the road, because all the trucks are doing about a million miles an hour. And man, years and years and years ago, that was some kind of fun with three screaming babies in the car, and you trying to merge a Ford Windstar van into four lanes of traffic, and you know, Death Race 2000 going by even as you do so. And the boss imploring the children to please be quiet because she's terrified, and because we're country folk, you know. But you get on I-65, and a little while later you pass into the preferred time zone on planet Earth, the central time zone in the United States. And I saw this story and I remembered this because my mind is a funny thing. And somewhere between around Horse Cave or Mammoth Cave, somewhere down there, back in the 90s, it was all the rage to build outlet centers. And I remember very well, because I think it was probably maybe 1999, maybe. And we stopped at the outlet center, you know, carload of kids. Everybody, nobody can go to the bathroom at the same time. So you got four kids and a spouse and yourself, it means at least six stops. And no matter how the adults plead, oh, please go to the potty, please. No.
Don't need to.
Oh, those were the days. We stopped at an outlet mall. I want to think it's Horse Cave, Kentucky. It was a big sprawling thing. And I mean, there were fragrance outlets, and there was a Ralph Lauren polo outlet and a Tommy Hilfiger outlet and Nautica and all kinds of different outlet, a place that sold leather goods. And it flopped in a hurry, as so many of these outlet centers did. And so it just became this great, big, vast concrete blight by the side of the road. And what that means in a place like Kentucky Stan is that somebody will eventually, sooner rather than later, come in and set up a dirty bookstore. And that means that you'll have billboards for like 100 miles in front of, on either side of the road. Adult novelties, adult books, movies. And, you know, a little further away off in the distance, there will be those three coffin daffer crosses. I think they put the billboards where the coffin daffer crosses just for spite. But in, as far as I don't know, I think it's in, you know, the other side, truck parking, you know, because you know, any port in a storm. And you know, you zip on past. Every time I pass it, I think of, you know, I think of when it was an outlet mall and how excited we were. We were headed south. We were going to. No, it was before. It was 1995. Doodle wasn't here yet. Maybe 96. No, it was 96. Because I was actually going down to go to Birmingham. Never mind. But we were excited to see family and everything, and stopped and got some gifts there because, you know, you're on the road and it's an outlet center and you have to spend money. I mean, well, I don't know, it draws you, it just like it's a magnet pulling the steel in your vehicle right off the highway. But the best laid plans of mice and men gang aft to glee. And I thought of all of that when I saw a story based on a public records request by a paleontologist, no less, who sought the attendance numbers and the money payouts for the Ark Encounter. And it looks like COVID has been rough for Ken Phelps and the Ark Encounter. Answers in Genesis runs that outfit because we were talking about Noah, etc., and the nakedness and whatever. The Ark Encounter is way down, and hopefully the Ark Encounter will be as empty as that the outlet mall in Horse or Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, in short order. All year long through the pandemic, Ken Phelps's Ark Encounter has been failing. And remember, that's all tax-free, hallelujah. That's an appropriate use of the term because, of course, Ken Phelps is an Australian that we can't get Australia to call home and bring him back. Oh, he's still here. And I guess he's still getting paid. But from February 2020 to February 2021, they shed some 6,000 visitors. Mm-hmm. But because they have to pay a public fee, it's called a safety fee. They pay to the city of Williamstown, Kentucky. Thanks to our friend, the friendly atheist for this, Emmett Mehta. We actually have the numbers. February, the decrease, the exact number was 5,936. It's getting, well, emptier and emptier and emptier. And there's only two reasons to go to the Ark Encounter. One is to guffaw at the monumental stupidity involved with trying to tell people in the third decade of the 21st century of the common era that Adam and Eve rode to Sunday school on a dinosaur. And the other reason is, you know, the credulous people who, not Ken Phelps, Ken Ham. Thank you, Flavio. Thank you. Ken Ham. Ken Phelps is someone else. But this.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bull action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Yeah, it's the children's chorus of Amen, but what really makes that clip art is the clucking chickens in the background. You're right, though. It's Ken Ham, not Ken Phelps. That's Ken. Thank you, Flavia. You get a corrections department hat tip for that. But the only reasons for going there are to have a good laugh. But you have to pay for the laugh, and then the last laugh is definitely on you, not from you. Yeah, here I go. It's Ken Ham, the Aussie expellee. Yeah, everybody caught that one. Right, yeah. So with any luck, they will close at some point in the near future, hopefully. But they did pick up somewhere between $1 and $2 million of your money during the out of the Paycheck Protection Program. If only we had some of the framers of the Constitutions, those deists, that we could bring it to the here and now and say, hey, look what your First Amendment did. And just to hear John Adams, that sour, taciturn old man, say, gadzooks. Yeah, gadzooks indeed. The Ark Encounter, Jeremy in Vermont says, I'm pretty sure if you look it up either during or after construction, that Ark was struck by lightning and had to be rebuilt. I know it was struck by lightning. And I think there's been a couple of floods, too. As to the porn shop billboards, Steve in New York says, yeah, almost next to the south of the border billboards. No, the south of the border billboards don't exist that far west. Because it's just too complicated to say, okay, get down to Nashville, take I-40 east, and then get on I-95. No. And I think by that time you've kind of missed south of the border anyway. But I get the point, yes. And Elmira, New York, Stephen, New York, asks, isn't that where Joe Smith became the polygamist for Jesus? How ironic that Twain is buried. There was the history of that part of upstate New York is absolutely fascinating. Because it was a hotbed of what we in the 21st century refer to as conspiracy theories, and they in the 19th thought of as awakenings. All kinds of experimentation on basically what was then the frontier. All kinds of experimentation in ideas of communal living. But you're absolutely right. Yes, you did, as was pointed out previously, David in South Carolina, Stan. Did I detect a Valley Girl dialect from that dude? Oh, you so did. But I don't think there's any guarantee anymore that, like, he's, like, from, you know, Southern California, from the Valley. We need Tracy anytime there's talk of, because Tracy was a Valley Girl at one point in time, and she does that, like, you know, gag me with a spoon thing. So good. Mm-hmm. Oh, we are off and running this evening, aren't we? This is nice. Just in. The United States Senate has voted 52-48 to confirm Dr. Rachel Levine as Assistant Health Secretary. She is the first openly transgender federal official confirmed by the United States Senate. Progress is, though it be slow, progress is being made. Congratulations to Dr. Levine. She will do a fantastic job. 52-48. Because, well, transgender woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, was playing with himself under the desk as he cast his no vote. Genital mutilation. No, Rand. No, just no. Ugh, says Jeremy, don't remind me. I've seen the plaque that shows the place where Joseph Smith was born. It's not too far from me, being I'm in upstate Vermont. Oh, my goodness. Because you can be in New York and then you're in New England. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that reminder, Jeremy. And yay for Rachel Levine. Yes, indeed, Ralphs. Yes, indeed. And I'm not going to, yeah, I think you were confusing Ken Ham with Fred Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas. You know, that's probably what it was. And there's not a hell of a lot of difference between the two. By the way, is Fred still dead? Yes. As a matter of fact, Billable Rick, Fred Phelps is still dead, just like the man with half his brain in a jar on a pathologist's desk behind his back, Rush Limbaugh, is still dead. Oh, and we got so much other stuff. There's a, speaking of Australians, Ken Ham, not Ken Phelps. Sorry, Robert. Hey, Robert, listen, I needed to check in. Are you okay? The flooding down there has been horrifying. I saw a couple of dear friends checking in on social media saying they were safe from the flooding. I hope you are, too. Climate change is wreaking havoc on poor Australia. But there's a there's other things going on in Australia, of course. Didn't get a lot of coverage in American media, but it certainly deserves it. It wasn't long back when people took to the streets all over Australia to protest the sickening degree of, well, rapiness in the Scott Morrison Liberal government. And remember, the Liberals in Australia are conservatives anywhere on Earth, because anywhere else on Earth, because, you know, Southern Hemisphere and magnetic force field and whatever. But no, in Australia, the Liberal Party is actually the right-wing Republicans. And they finally get... Scott Morrison, who thinks that climate change is a Chinese hoax, and he announced that a member of his staff had been fired because they finally, it became impossible to ignore any longer what Morrison described as the disgusting and sickening behavior of that staffer's behavior, that guy's behavior. In Australia, there's an outfit called the Ten Network. And a couple of days ago, they had a story on charges that sort of a cadre of male government staffers were circulating pictures and videos of them, of sex. And they did it for 2 years. And in one particular case, it was a photo of people having sex on the desk of a female member of the Australian Parliament. Morrison, desperately trying to downplay the scandal and get away with his, keep his rapey government intact, said, "The actions of these individuals show staggering disrespect for the people who work in Parliament and for the ideals the Parliament's supposed to represent. It's not good enough. It's totally unacceptable. And we fired the individual who was at the center of the scandal." But thousands of women took to the streets all over Australia to protest sexual violence. And... yes, it wasn't just thousands of women, but men, too, who are, because not all men, right? Lo and behold, the Morrison government is it's flagging a little bit. It is finally trailing the primary opposition in the Labor Party by a 52-48 margin. Apparently, similar problems exist in Australian politics as exist here, where it doesn't matter how awful.
Well, you know, you can grab them by the...
Right. And there are... It's awful. Yet it's still 52-48 in favor of Labor now. Even after information came out that one of his staffers in a ministerial office in 2019 raped a former government media advisor by the name of Brittany Higgins. And Cy, well, Scott Morrison said, what we need here is an independent inquiry. We're going to find out what it is that, why we have this workplace culture rape in Parliament House in Canberra. Sorry, that's my cheesy Australian accent. Please forgive me. The problem was they started the inquiry and then they stopped the inquiry. And the fallout from it just keeps getting worse. Yeah. According to a whistleblower, well, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and because we're talking about good Christian conservatives, let's go straight to the source with 10 News First there in Australia.
Now to the explosive new sex scandal in federal parliament. 10 News First has obtained shocking images and videos of senior government staff, so-called conservatives, performing sex acts not just inside the building, but on the desk of a female MP. Also tonight, an informant tells us about a room where MPs and staff regularly go for sex. And he also claims...
Wait a minute, a room where Australian conservative men go for sex? Am I having a 2003 flashback, or does that sound like one of the rape rooms that the Bush administration breathlessly discussed as a reason for waging war against the innocent people of Iraq? You know, the rape rooms that probably didn't exist. Was it those rape rooms?
Sex workers have been brought into the building. Our political editor, Peter Van Onselen, is breaking this story, and we must warn you, it contains explicit images and details.
Members on both sides.
Right now, the behaviour of everyone who works in this place is being scrutinised like never before.
Don't you scrutinised.
Good reason. Highlighted tragically by the alleged rape of Brittany Higgins in a minister's office.
If it can happen in Parliament House, it can truly happen anywhere.
We've heard claims of sexual harassment, misogyny and bullying. It's a rotten rap sheet, especially in a place that's supposed to stand for democracy and decency. Things are so bad, the
Not with a conservative in power.
Kate Jenkins is already investigating the workplace culture in Parliament House. But as we're about to reveal, it's hard to imagine even she knows the full extent of it.
The culture needs to change, and now's the time to speak up. Now's the time to put it all on the record.
And this man should know. He's a Canberra insider. He's been at the very heart of it, and he's agreed to blow the whistle to 10 News First on men behaving badly and the denigration of women in Parliament House. If we protect his identity. So we'll call him Tom.
It's a culture of men thinking that they can do whatever they want.
And as you're about to see...
Why not just call them Republicans and have done?
...is disgusting. Tom has given us a number of photographs and videos recorded inside Parliament House of men engaged in blatant sex acts. They proudly film themselves and share the videos. And we warn you that the images are shocking. Some are so bad, we can't show you them at all.
Luckily, this is radio.
We've taken great care to blur or distort the images. But what's happening is unmistakable. This man is sitting at a desk, exposing himself. You can't see it, but he's staring straight at the camera. That's a copy of the Parliament House rulebook beside him. Here, a man arrogantly points to the desk of a female Liberal MP, then performs a solo sex act on it.
Solo sex act? Can you not say masturbates? in Australia. My God, we could move the entire Australian conservative government to, say, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Arkansas. And they'd be right at home and nothing would ever happen to them. Well, that's not fair. I mean, remember, the governor of Alabama did get caught on tape telling a woman who was not his God-fearing, upstanding, etc., one marriage between one man and one woman wife that he wanted to, well, never mind what he wanted to do, but yeah, he did eventually have to resign. So, I mean, once in a while there's a consequence or something.
It's far too explicit to show or even describe. But Tom tells us it's common.
The fact that it's a female MP only adds to the disgrace that it is.
It all happened in that building just behind you.
Yeah, it did, all of it.
It's almost impossible to believe.
It's surprising, and I think a lot of people will be just stunned.
And it doesn't stop there. This group of coalition staffers also routinely swap explicit photos of themselves.
I've received so many that I've just become immune to it.
Just yesterday, the Education Minister, Alan Tudge, pleaded with parents to talk to their kids because, incredibly, sending photos like this is also happening among school-aged children.
Oh, hold the damn phone! I mean, probably the wrong phrase. Am I to understand that sexting has just gotten to Australia? What did we do? Put the concept on the HMS Bounty and send it around the horn? Because it's been going on for about as long as cameras have had phones on them. That is not a not an excuse. But why does this turn from the education minute? The education minister is a member of the Conservative Party, too. Of course, he's, you know, what we need to do is warn the parents because the children are sending pictures of the nasty bits to other children. That's what's good. That's the real scourge here, for God's sake. Now look at what's going on in the Conservative government. And I don't want to see anybody having sex on a desk in a Parliament House in Canberra. Is anybody watching?
Parliament is hardly setting a good example. According to
Tom, thanks for that.
Government staffers and even MPs often have sex in this small room.
This small room, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Wait till you find out what the small room is. You don't even have to guess, do you? Where these good conservative... We'd know them as Republicans here in Merca. Where they go to have their ficky fick. Yeah, you know. Of course you know.
According to Tom, government staffers and even MPs often have sex in this small room on the upper level of the building. It's known as the prayer room or the meditation room.
You've been told by people who say they've had sex with MPs?
Yes.
In the meditation room?
Yes. I could probably say there's very little meditation or prayer going on in that room.
Ah, come on, mate! You know. The small room, the meditation room, the prayer room, the chapel. Go into the chapel and we're... Never mind. And of course they're praying. That's why people are hollering, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God!" Not making light of it. Not at all. Stop doing the accent, Robin. Sorry, Australian friends, I do apologize. But you gotta have a means of, you know, mocking these, because every last one of them, wait for it, is a, come on, do it, say it with me, say it out loud. Christian. Followers of Christ Jesus, whom they also believe along the way, never got laid. Yeah, well, you know, we're only having sex because Jesus didn't get who. You know how it says in Matthew 25, if you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. Poor bloke needs a lie, doesn't he? Stop it.
A lot of sex.
A lot.
A lot.
Tom can testify to that because he's done it himself.
Have you ever had sex at Parliament House?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Which brings us to Tom's most startling revelation. He says he knows of prostitutes being brought into the building.
No, not prostitutes. Prostitutes. In government. In a government controlled by conservatives. People that we would recognize as Republicans over here. Perish the thought. At least if they're paying people for sex. No, no, they're conservatives. That's what happens. They stiff them and then they stiff them. At least if they're hiring prostitutes, they're not raping media advisors. Jesus. I mean, does Australia have like some sort of Devil's Island or something where we can sit? But then again, one gets the idea that if they start prosecuting the conservative members of parliament who got all rapey in Parliament House in Canberra, there won't be a conservative, a Liberal Party majority anymore, just by operation of attrition. Never mind elections. Wait a minute. Wasn't that a story from a couple of nights ago? Wasn't Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Clanny Oakley saying that there was going to be a mass resignation of Democrats and then the Republicans would get control of the Congress even before the 2022 midterms? I'm certain she was saying that. Well, obviously she's got her receiver tuned to the wrong frequency, the wrong band. And apparently she thinks, because, you know, Democrats as liberals, she was getting the feed through the fillings in her teeth, or maybe the plate in her head, from up over down under, where the Liberal government is going to fall, hopefully, because of rapey stuff. That's what it is. Keith's probably Australian. That might be Q right there on the audio you've been listening to. Right? Right. So, once again, the United States sneezes. That's probably not a good... That's not at all a good analogy anymore, but every awful thing that happens here has a way of trickling down planet to our dear friends in Australia. And I know there are good progressive Australians who are sickened by all of this. And I'm sure the conservative Australians are, well, we need to go to Hillsong and pray over this. We'll bring that to a halt. By the way, there is a $20 progressive rock challenge on the table for this prayer meeting Wednesday as the deacons sit. You know, the deacons have put on more weight in this year than I have. Because the only exercise the deacons in the cathedral ever got was getting up and passing the plates around. But they do like to keep track and that challenge hasn't been met. It would take us down to 250 bucks. It'd take us down to 250 bucks for the evening. So if that could happen, that would be great. Scott Morrison, subject line from Flavio. What got my blood boiling was when that stupid galoot tried to bully his way into forcing a tiny grieving woman to participate in his photo op after those horrible fires by grabbing her arm. That was sickening. He was 3 times her height and she still repelled him. Morrison is a piece of shit that clung to your shoe. Yeah, and it would be nice if the Australian people would just scrape him right off on an edge of the pavement. Indeed, Flavio. Prostitutes in politics. Lee in New York says, I knew there were prostitutes there. Oh, you mean other than the people the lobbyists meet with. True. this has created a bit of a storm of emails. Ralph's pointing out, and so correctly, just like Melanie Trump, they're taking off their clothes for money. The prostitutes in Canberra. The conservative politicians, however, take them off for free. Ah, okay, I didn't see that. PayPal must be running slow. Thank you, Jeremy. Half of the Progressive Rock Challenge has been met. There's only $10 to go on that, so thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. As to the worst of America getting to Australia, Lee says maybe the cliche could be updated as the U.S. coughs and the world gets COVID. And that's so true in so many ways because, well, China got theirs under control pretty damn quick. And Taiwan, our buddy Horst, they're in. They've had, what, less than 100 deaths? Yeah. True, true. Let's see here. Yeah, we need to get to that one for certain. And I think we will. Yep. And by the way, that 52-48 vote, all the Democrats, Mirabile Dictu, all the Democrats voted in favor of Dr. Rachel Levine, even Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. That would have been a really bad look for Kyrsten Sinema if she'd managed to vote against her. Really bad. Possibly worse than, never mind. Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, points out that Lisa Murkowski and noted Maine moderate Susan Collins did manage to vote yes on Rachel Levine. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly. What's that? Sexting South style. Jeremy in Vermont says, of course it just got to Australia. I mean, after all, they're literally upside down all the way down there. We don't live on a flat earth after all. And do you know, these strange things happen. I was somewhere the other day, and I heard a young man say, he's the son of someone I know. On this program, was it Robert in Australia? Because Robert follows some of these, not as in believes in them, but follows some of these loopier conspiracy theories, and they're all loopy to one degree or another. But someone pointed out, and I thought it was Robert, maybe I'm wrong, that one of the going conspiracy theories alongside Helen Keller was not deaf or not blind, that one still blows my mind. Another one is that Australia doesn't really exist, that it's just some odd little resort tucked away in the Sahara somewhere. Yeah, and Jeremy reminded of that. We don't live on a flat earth after all. Australia doesn't exist. That's the planet we live on. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out the small room is the chapel. Yes. Hooray, I'm for the other team, says Darlene in Connecticut, which rhymes nicely with hooray for Rachel Levine. She will be fantastic and is a pioneer in her own right. She absolutely is. She is, well, she's a pioneer. She's a trailblazer. She is courageous because it would be very easy to just go somewhere and practice medicine and not be tormented so much, but there are people, you know, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republicans, who actively want Dr. Rachel Levine dead. And I'm sure that the fundraising emails have already gone out from people like Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. I proudly voted today to to reject the nomination of Dr. Rachel Levine. She is an abomination in the eyes of God. Yeah. And he'll rake in the bucks on it. And the Family Research Council will give him money for his hate. And the focus on the family will probably give him money for his hate. And all of these disgusting, hate-fueled outfits will pour money into his campaign out of dollars that they got, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. So, good on Dr. Levine, indeed. Okay, let's see. Let me see. Oops. Okay, let's run over to the stress line. See who we've got this prayer meeting Wednesday. Hey, welcome to the program.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Silent R.
Yeah. You got me all over the spectrum right now, man. I don't even know where to start.
All you can do is pick one and go.
Well, you were talking about the Bible earlier and all this other stuff. I would like to just bring a little insight. I am a Christian. I am a true Christian. I'm not a fanatical, but I'm a Christian. But you know what? I've had many ministers stop having a conversation with me when I bring up certain things because I talk in the real. And like it says in the Bible, God kneeled down by the Euphrates River, which is in Africa, and made man his own.
The Euphrates is in. Well, hold on, Silent R. The Euphrates is in Asia.
Well,
doesn't get anywhere near the African the continent.
Whatever river that is that runs through Egypt.
That's the Nile.
The Nile. I'm sorry. You gotta forgive me. I told you I was drinking. So my geography is
have one for me, Silent R. Have one for me. Because I ain't.
I have already done that. I've had one for you and the rest of the congregation. But the thing is this. My first question to you, have you ever seen white mud?
I've seen a sort of grayish mud, but never absolutely white.
Have you ever seen white mud?
Don't reckon so.
That's the problem. So, let's just flip the script like I told the parishioners that I've come across. Man wrote the Bible after God told him what to write down. But knowing man being as devious as he is, did he really write it down as he said it was?
Well, hold on, Silent R. Let's take a moment for a little critical Bible theory. We know a lot about how the Bible was created, and yeah. One of the things we know is that the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also known as the Pentateuch, mm-hmm. meaning the five books,
mm-hmm.
Those were written during the Babylonian captivity of the children of Israel, long about the 6th century BCE. They describe a time before time. And it is understood now as having been written, having been committed to print, well, not print, but having been committed to writing. By the priestly class, expressly for the purposes of maintaining control over the Hebrew population that was then held in captivity. In the land between the rivers in Mesopotamia, Babylon in particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's where we also get the story of Daniel in the lion's den and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery right. furnace and all of that stuff. But Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever, told anybody what to write, he was telling some temple priests in 500 and something BCE in Babylon what to write about things that happened thousands of years before somewhere else. And in point of fact, one of the real things that we know about the origins of Genesis is that the reason they were able to come up with them is that by being carried off into Babylon, they had access and exposure to, for the first time, because the Babylonians had been writing for a whole lot longer than the Hebrew people had, they had access to the hero stories of that ancient culture, which was already ancient by then. For instance, the story of the flood is not an original in the Bible. It is what we would probably refer to today as plagiarism from the hero tales of the Babylonian, Akkadian, etc. populations. So, you know, I just wanted to put a little understanding around the idea of God telling man what to write.
You know, as much as you scream and holler sometimes that you're atheist, I know you're not.
Oh, well, I don't say I'm an atheist. I say I'm not a Christian, and I am not a follower of organized religion.
Right, right. I get that.
But I definitely do not believe in the Hebrew and Muslim great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. If I'm going to buy into any spiritual theory, it is far more likely to be the animism of more of people who are a lot closer to the land, and who see the mysterious power of the unknown in everything on this living planet.
Okay, but like I say, in something that you said earlier, I would just like to switch one thing. Oh, the Mark of Ham, or me and my mother had this conversation where Noah's son got the mark where he's supposed to be marked as black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not saying I believe any of that bullshit.
But no. Let's flip the script. What if he had been marked white?
Yeah.
Instead of black.
Because white folks. White folks are way north, and white folks evolve in Europe. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just get a kick out of it.
No, you're right. That's a good point. If anybody's going to be shown to have been marked and cast out, it's probably the white people.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm one of the few Negroes that you run across. I say, you know what? God delivered his people from the Egyptians, which were technically black. And they only did, the Jews did 2,000, 1,500 years in slavery that they have on record. We only did 400.
Well, no. Wait. Let's hold on about that. Because, again, the story of the Hebrew enslavement by the Egyptians. The Egyptians, and they are rather like a later regime of the mid 20th century or early 20th century, kept meticulous records. They wrote about every blessed thing they did, and they carved it on their walls, and they made sure that. And there is not a word. In all of the Egyptian records about them enslaving anybody. And there's lots of stuff about them defeating the fuck out of people. They celebrated the hell out of beating people in wars. Yeah. The only vague reference to any potential captivity isn't a reference to captivity. There was a time in the Bronze Age, and it's along about, 1400 BCE. And it was a momentous upheaval in the entire Mediterranean basin when a volcano erupted on the island we now know as Santorini. It was known then as Thera. And it wiped out the dominant Mediterranean culture, which was in fact the Minoan, we call them the Minoans of Crete, And they had a seafaring culture that went all over the Mediterranean. They were brilliant sailors. And they had a huge trade network. They built monumental edifices on Crete. And they spread their culture to the Levantine, that you know, where Israel and Lebanon and is now Gaza. They spread their culture there. And when that volcano erupted and the earthquakes and tsunamis that came with it, it completely wiped out the Minoan Cretes, or that's how we understand Minoans of Crete, and that's how we understand it. And then that, in turn, created a domino effect where peoples all over that region, especially in Asia Minor, went on the move. And the next thing you know, the Egyptians do make reference to the marauding tribes that came down into Egypt because Egypt was still stable and Egypt still had food to eat. And one of those, one of the hangers on at the back of that marauding horde were people who were referred to by the Egyptians as the Hapiru. We would spell it H-A-P-I-R-U, the Hapiru. And that's as close as you can get to Hebrew anywhere in the record. And meanwhile, as to the Exodus itself, you got to figure if you're wandering 40 years in the wilderness, somebody's gonna lose a sandal. Somebody's going to drop a belt buckle. Somebody's going to lose a brooch or a hat pin or something.
But after
150 years of archaeology in that region, because all you know, back then there was a lot of archaeology early on that was bent on proving the rightness of the Bible. They've dug all over.
Yes, right.
And there is not so much as a single scrap of physical evidence.
Yes.
Of the Exodus ever having happened. Not a sausage.
You got me when you mentioned Asia Minor. Oh, that was a rip-roaring sound of my head pulling out of my ass something fierce. Man, I haven't heard that in almost 40 years. Asia Minor? Oh, my God. Most people don't even know what you were talking about.
Well, let me clarify. Turkey, what we know now as Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Gaza, Palestine, Iraq, Persia.
The Persian continent was, which is now known as Iraq and Iran after they lost and chose the wrong side in World War II. We won't get into all that, but damn, I love it. I didn't know you were that much of a historian.
Oh God! I started. Yeah. I love my history. And I.
So you know what? Me, you got. We got a whole lot in common there, guy. So I'm gonna have to call in more times when I want to have my history reinforced because I don't have nobody in my area. I'm just a loner, man.
Oh come on, Lamar, man! You live in L.A. You don't need some hillbilly woman to no. But I mean, you got the whole Southern California. You're bound to be no. But I kid. I love these conversations.
I didn't know you were such a historian because my minor, my third major. Okay, I wanted to be a doctor. That didn't go through because I'm such a perfectionist. But I stitched your ass up Friday, and you come in Sunday with my stitches broken, you're going to bleed to death. It's real simple. I'm not redoing my work. All right? I'm like that with my architecture. I don't go back over and redo my shit. So I got out of medical, and then I went into psychiatry. I'm like, okay. Who's going to bring their white kid to me, a black man? I'm like Bill Cosby. I got a degree in child psychology, but nobody bringing a child to me. I might as well be a comedian.
Yeah, let's. Lamar, you want to avoid any comparisons between yourself and Bill Cosby, seeing how Bill's doing some hard time in the stir these days.
Well, they wanted, like I say, being black, you have to understand. They got to take down all the emblems of successful Negroes they can. Hope that they die off or ruin the ones that are out there.
Well, so but you got to remember, Lamar, Bill Cosby was taken down not by white folks, but by African-American women who didn't appreciate being raped or drugged.
That. Or as they claim, as they claim, like I say, O.J. Simpson committed the crime and they found the blood 2 weeks later on the fence. There's no way in hell that you can do. Forensics don't work like that. So, you know, I'm like this. I'm in a different category. And I've seen the police and how they function. When they come out to investigate, if you weren't locked up in jail at the time they were investigating you, they're going to pin that shit on you one way or another in the story. That's why we're watching the guy shooting up and doing all these mass shootings. I was just sitting there saying to my son, my children, I said, isn't it amazing that there has been no black school shootings, no black mass murderers anywhere? All the mass murderers have been Caucasian.
Yeah, even the shooter, given the non-Europeanness of his name, the shooter in Boulder, looking pretty white.
Well, it's like this.
Let's say pretty pale. Let's put it there. Looking pretty pale.
Well, here's the situation. If you're brought here at the age of 3 and you live in this area, in this country until you're 21, you are an American. End of story. You have no recollection of your home country. This is why I can't understand why. Why do you want to send a child back who's been here from the age of 3 to a country where he cannot speak the language? How barbaric can you be? And it all comes from not wanting to put yourself in the other person's shoe. Because I'm like this. If I knew you'd been here since you were birth, you're not a legal citizen because the parents didn't do what they were supposed to do.
That's why we have the 14th Amendment. All people born in the United States of America are American citizens. And, of course, that drives Republicans and right-wingers absolutely batshit crazy.
Well, you got to understand, when the 14th Amendment was created, they couldn't send the Negroes back to Africa. They didn't want to pay for it. So that's the bottom line of that one. Because if they wanted to come up, here's one thing I love about Republicans. They always scream about don't want to spend money, but they always spend money to hurt people, but they won't spend money to help people. That is really ironic. You know that, dude? I'm not going to spend the money to send you back to Tijuana, but I'll spend the money to make your life miserable here. That's some stupid shit.
Yeah, it's all about the misery, isn't it?
That is the bottom line. If there's no pain, there's no gain as far as they're concerned.
True.
If you ain't hurting, we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. And you know what? Until a certain group of Americans decide we don't want to live like that, this bullshit's going to continue. There's no ifs, no ands, and everybody's butts involved. Because I'm like I was telling my mother a couple of days ago, you have two main groups of Americans. Those who want to make life miserable for the other ones, and those who will not follow directions. I don't give a shit what you think. That's where we at. We have people who don't want to follow directions. Wear a goddamn mask. No, I don't want to wear a mask. I want to be free. Okay, be free.
I ain't gonna wear no face diaper.
Well, shit. You're right. I ain't wearing no face diaper. But then you want me to be sympathetic when your ass wheezes into the emergency room because you're about to die from COVID. And all you had to do is put a face diaper on. But I'm supposed to be considerate and loving. You know, I'm actually becoming evil. I was a nice, loving person. But the way America is right now, I got to defend for myself. And defending for myself means I got to be evil. I don't like neither one of the options. But one or the other, either I give in and die by the wayside as the unknown, or I can put up a fight and be known as a problem. But like they say, you look about John Lewis, he was considered, he said it was good trouble. Certain people consider it trouble, bad trouble. He was a problem. Well, he was only a problem because he wanted fairness for him and the people he represented. So how can that be bad trouble?
I understand.
You know, it's really weird. When you really don't want to hear the subject, you're not open-minded to the subject, you're going to always have issues. Because, like I said, we started off talking about Christianity and being a Christian. I'm going to circle back for a hot minute. Like I said, I'm a Christian. God asked me to do one thing, and one thing only. Love you. That's it. He didn't ask me to judge you. He didn't ask me to bring down revenge. That's all his. If you want to do stuff that you want to do, fine. As long as it's not going to kill me, I'm not going to complain. But you know, if you keep breaking the Lord's will, I'm going to make sure when he decides to strike your ass down with lightning, I'm not going to be in the blast zone.
Wait a minute. Okay. You get a cowbell for that, Silenor.
I'm serious. Like I say, if you want to deny or disclaim or don't want to go with what's supposed to be going with, I'm not going to tell you I'm not your friend. I just don't hang out with you that much because when you get into the blast zone, I don't want to be a casualty. And I've seen it. I've lived it. So it's real simple. All these people who don't want to follow directions, fine. I recommend, like I told, I know you're going to love this. I told my niece, I said, if you run across anybody who claims that they believe in Trump and they follow Trump, make sure you step away because when lightning strike they ass, you ain't blown up with them. And she started laughing.
I'm laughing too. I think that's some fine advice. I don't want to be a greasy spot.
Right. And like I say, I'm waiting. I mean, I don't wish, believe me, I never wish harm on nobody. But I'm like I say, as I am black, and you know I am black. Because I still laugh about the time when I called homegirl Wild Thing or Miss Thing, and you liked, you almost laughed your head off.
Mm.
I'm going to be real with you. We'll be real with you. Margie Green and all these clowns that are in the Republican Party right now, all this stuff they're pushing that's going to happen, somebody's going to shoot them. Because shooting unarmed people is not going to get nothing done.
You know what? I hope, Lamar, that you are wrong. I don't want anybody.
I would love to be wrong.
I don't want anybody shot, but I want to make something clear. If somebody decides to, and they proved it on January 6th, okay? If somebody's gonna plink at, you know, Marjorie Trader Green Q-Ball or Clanny Oakley Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, if anybody does, it'll be one of their own Republicans who has decided that they are insufficiently pure. Remember, Mike Pence, Lamar, is whiter than I am. And I am so white, I burn under the refrigerator bulb. And those maggots on January 6th wanted to lynch Mike Pence. They brought their own gallows with them. They wanted to lynch the whitest man in America.
The third whitest American in the world. I think you're in the top three.
Yeah, but he's whiter than me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I still got a little blonde left in my hair. I mean, he's just white.
No, his hair is all white because he wants to be a James Bond villain. Think about Thunderball, homeboy. He had to kill in the train. He was straight white hair albino.
That's the best James Bond synopsis I've ever heard. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hey, I'm sorry. I was busy laughing. That's your second cowbell of the evening, Lamar.
But, you know, it's like, here's the situation. I was born before you. You were born in 63. I was born in 58. My teachers, white and black, told me I must pay attention to government or I shall die, because they're making rules and regulations that will govern my life. And I took heed to what they said. And it is really amazing to me that when I started elementary school, believe me, Bob, when I started elementary school, the president, when I was in kindergarten, was Dwight D. Eisenhower. I have lived through Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Carter, Nixon, and all the ones after. I have seen what the Republican Party has manifested, has changed into. My speech impediment is messing with me right now.
Oh, you're
America
doing fine.
Got butt screwed. America got butt screwed when Reagan got in, because everybody before Reagan refused to let the religious mentality interfere in government politics. Separation of church and state. We lost that under Reagan. Reagan let them clowns get in. And then they started trying to put laws in that they felt that were God's laws. No, you can't do that. God's laws are the Ten Commandments, and you leave them as separate. As Jesus said, render that is Caesar unto Caesar. And that's where you should stop that. But, you know, it's just amazing. I have watched America slide into a sand pit, or what do you call it, quicksand. But we're not circling the drain. That's one thing that's good about it. We're not circling the drain. Maybe we can get the right hair clog to stop that shit, and we can just float back up, and then we can get a legitimate plumber in there to clear the drain out, because we're butt screwed right now. And like they're talking about the filibuster, I was listening to your morning nasty habit this morning, and your boy ran off a litany list of how they have used the filibuster. And if people do not understand what the filibuster is.
Oh, he had some staffer there at that program had done some fine work, or found a story that had some fine work in it. And chapter and verse, every time the filibuster was used to stop a piece of civil rights legislation in the entire 20th century. You're right. I caught that, too.
Yes. But see, here's the other side of the coin. The filibuster has been used to stop progress, period. Doesn't have to necessarily be civil rights. It stopped everything. Gun control, this and that, all this other. The filibuster has come up to stop it. And people are not talking. I said, I'm really tired of people using certain things just for the racial aspect of it. No, use it for the aspect of the lively and the
let me ask, and this is out of a spirit of trying to be abundantly fair on this. Do you remember back when the guy that Malloy calls Raisin Brain, you know, George W. Bush? Do you remember when he got sort of reelected? That was when they screwed with Ohio. And he said,
he came on stage.
He said, I got me some political capital now, and I'm going to spend it, and I'm going to piratize Social Security.
And didn't the Senate minority then say, no, ain't going to happen? So I guess that's a form of the filibuster being used for good.
No, what happened in that particular situation that they wanted to change it, and every Republican that has Social Security told them, we will vote your white ass out of office if you even touch it. Like they said, keep your hand off of my government, Social Security. Keep your hands off of my Medicare. See, the Republicans, before you were born in 1965,
three.
Made the statement.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the same age as my sister, so you're okay. We ain't gonna get into that. But they made the statement: once you give it to them, you can't take it away. So they fight real hard to make sure you don't get nothing. The New Deal under Roosevelt, they've been whittling away like hell out of it.
Yeah, and Johnson's Great Society into the bargain.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. By me being an educator, I see how they're doing this. I see how they're winning at the propaganda garbage. See, if every American understood why we have Social Security, they would not vote for anybody who's talking about moving it out. Because Roosevelt made the statement, the American people cannot save money. So we're going to create a savings fund for them so they can save money for their elderly years. And then he introduced it. The Republicans screamed and hollered about that's socialism. You know what? I get tired of hearing people talk about socialism who really don't know what the hell.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, my leading contender in that regard is freshly declared Alabama Republican senatorial candidate Mo Brooks, less brains, who he's at the point, Lamar, where he doesn't even refer to the Democrats anymore. He just says the socialists or the socialist Democrats, because all that, you know, to Mo Brooks, less brains, all the Democrats are socialists. You know, even Joe Manchin is a socialist,
yeah,
as far as that nasty old Confederate moron is concerned.
But you know, see, this is why I always call myself one of God's freaks of nature. Because somebody comes and say, you're a socialist, and you goddamn right I'm a socialist. I'm just like the white D. I'm just like Franklin D. Roosevelt. I am just as socialist as his ass is.
Yeah.
You got a problem with it?
Take it up with FDR.
Yeah, I'm saying right now you're living off the shit that I wanted you to have, and you bitching to me? Just think about if I had not did what I did. Your punk ass would be out there starved to death or dead. Y'all need to wake the fuck up. It ain't about you, it's about the rest of us. And see, you know what I really get a kick out of? I had a conversation with my niece. She's 30 years old. Oh, I'm aging myself now. But she was talking about, they were talking about getting rid of Social Security. And I told her, there's no way in the world they can get rid of Social Security unless they steal it. Because let me give you an example. You're 18 years old. You started working. You worked until you were 55 years old. You had a massive heart attack and you died. What happened to your money?
Well, it wasn't your money anymore because you never collected it.
Right, so it goes into the kitty. It makes sure that everybody
kind of stays in the kitty.
Supposed to get. Yeah, so as long as we keep dying before we're supposed to get old, booyah. But you know what? Reagan, let me get back. Let me hark on Mr. 666, as you call him.
Testify, Lamar, you know, testify.
That motherfucker was... I'm trying not to use bad words online. I'm trying to keep it.
You're doing fine.
I'm not gonna lie. I voted for that motherfucker the first time. And I'm gonna tell you why I voted for his punk ass. He was part of the union. He was part of the Actors Guild. He was everything a Democrat was supposed to be, until he became President and Governor of California.
Oh my, oh my, oh my.
Governor of California.
Yeah.
When he became governor of California, I was in high school, dude. My junior college that I had to pay money to go to, my uncles and cousins went to the same junior college for fucking free. And now for me to hear people say, you can't have a free university or junior college, asshole, it was free when I was in high school and I was in the 70s. That wasn't too fucking long ago. You need to
sure
get
doesn't
your
seem like it.
Way fine ass out. See, you don't realize that it's not that long ago until you get to the point where it wasn't that damn long ago. But see, the point is that Hillary Clinton lost me when she said that we couldn't have free universities or junior college. I'm like, bitch, you older than me. I know you had the opportunity to go to free college or university or whatever.
I voted for her because there wasn't no way I was going to vote for Donald Trump. And I supported Bernie in the primaries. And then when Bernie didn't win, I supported Hillary Clinton, lost about half the audience for doing it. But we've kind of bounced back. But the fact of the matter is, it just makes me sad, Silent R, to hear, to even think about that candidacy, because there was so much that was lost in the 4 years that we had Donald Trump, and this country would have been there would not be a 500,000 people dead from the COVID if it hadn't been, if Nitwit Nero, if Hillary Clinton had been allowed to become president, seeing how she got more votes.
I voted for Hillary, too. She lost my vote. She didn't lose my vote. She lost me when she sat there and went with the Republican bullshit line that we can't have free junior colleges. See, everybody don't get it. The free junior colleges are based upon if you live in the goddamn state. Nothing changed. If I want to go to Oregon to a junior college, my ass is supposed to pay. But if I'm going to go to a California junior college, that shit's supposed to be free because my taxes pay for it. That's another damn thing that blows my mind. We are a consumer country. We pay taxes to make sure shit works. And you got people who don't want to pay taxes. Guess what? Don't talk to me about potholes in your goddamn street because you don't want to pay taxes. You need to get your punk ass up and talk about Mr. Person, Mr. Congress Critter. You need to cut your paycheck back and start pasting up these goddamn holes in our street. And getting back to pork projects. Oh, my God, when McCain talked about, agreed with getting rid of pork programs back in the early 80s, I knew America was butt fucked. Because pork programs, like it or not, America, are jobs. Because if I'm going to put up a new road through my city, that's going to mean I got to pay people to come out and do the paving. The digging, the grading.
Yeah, leprechauns don't come out and do that in the night. No, they don't. People got to be paid, and that's why we have things. That's why we have things like Davis Bacon and prevailing wage, so that people working for the working on government projects don't get paid poverty wages. Exactly. By the way, I got to share something with you, Silent. I got to share something with you, Silent R. You got a note. You got a note from Matt in San Francisco. You apologize for referring to old 666 Ronald Wilson Reagan as a motherfucker. Matt, you apologize, and I told you you didn't need to. And Matt echoed that and said, when used to describe Ronald Reagan, motherfucker is not rude. It is simply descriptive. And I could not agree more. Thank you, Matt, for the affirmation. It is a big deal. Yes, it is merely an adjective. And Les, I don't know if Les is at home or on the road, but he sent me three fists up and said, "Silent motherfucking R. Lamar on all points." So yeah, there's some hallelujahs out there for you, Silent R. Absolutely.
Yeah, but see, you know, it's like when you pay attention to your life and what's going on around you, if you don't walk around clueless and your head in the sky, because, you know, I grew up with cloud nine, your head in the sky, and the clouds and all that shit. Well, there was a whole lot of other shit that was involved in that statement. Didn't mean you were on drugs. You were hallucinating on bullshit mentality, and you thinking dandelions are going to be always in the goddamn field. No, what happens when you have a drought and the shit sunburns that motherfucking field dry? Ain't no damn dandelions out there. You can see all the little prairie dogs and lizards out in that motherfucker, and you can see some of the snakes that might be out there to get your punk ass if you decide to venture out there.
Wait a minute. Snakes. Third cow. There's not a lot of third cow, three cowbell calls out there, Lamar, but you just made it into the list.
No.
But you're speaking truth. Jeremy just wrote and said, big business and Republicans are fine with welfare when it keeps their businesses relevant and you know alive. Think ExxonMobil. We've kept them afloat for decades. Yeah, it's corporate wealth. It's welfare for corporations. It's socialism for corporations and brutal capitalism for the rest of us. That's been said on this program many times before, and it remains true.
It is true, but I'm going to take it a little bit further. We subsidize the oil corporations for one reason. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Have you ever been to a European country, Bob?
Oh, yes, I have. A couple of them.
Four.
Well, about the Netherlands.
I've been to the Netherlands. That's where I had Germany, to go do work.
The Netherlands, France, Germany, and Italy.
Okay, now, most Americans don't understand why the fuck our gas is $4 on the West and East Coast and only $2.75 in the interior. That is because we subsidize the gas so they can keep the prices down. But see, now they're not doing it like they're supposed to do. They're raping us. Because I was in the Netherlands. This was in 83. My company sent my punk ass over there. When I got over there and I saw, I'm like, everybody's riding a fucking bicycle and the transportation was free unless you're going from state. Unless you're going to go to Frankfurt or somewhere like that. Then you had to pay a little extra. But as long as you stayed in Amsterdam, Holland, as it was before it decided to change its name to the Netherlands, everything was free. I jump on the bus, ride over here to this area, free. If I want to go to the red light district, jump on the bus, ride over to the red light district. And if I want to get busy, break out my American Express card. I'm good. Can't do that here because they don't take American Express on the street. You got to come up with cash. But putting that aside, I went to the gas station. Oh no, let me backtrack for a minute. I was butt fucked when I got picked up from the airport and the taxi was a motherfucking Mercedes Benz, okay? That floored
me
right
there. That'll do it.
It floored me right there. A Mercedes Benz is the same equivalent to a Volkswagen or a Ford in America? No shit. Oh wow, I am in heaven. And like I say, I was stationed around the corner from the Heineken brewery. So I have an affection for Heineken at room temperature that you would not believe.
Hey, and you know what? Let me echo that for a minute. I can say with certainty that a freshly drawn glass of Heineken in the Netherlands tastes absolutely nothing like that bitter swill that comes out of those green bottles here in the U.S.
You know what? It took me a year and a half to adapt to the taste of the bullshit they got here, okay? But still a good beer, as far as I'm concerned. That's all I drink. My wife, when she buys beer, she buys Budweiser or Miller's or anything else. It sits out there until somebody else comes to drink it. I don't touch it. But she brings a 12-pack or 18-pack or 24-pack of Heineken. I guard that motherfucker like a mother hen. I got guarded like a mother hen. But it was just weird. I went to the gas station expecting to pay Brother Robin, Sister Robin, Mr. Robin. Oh, my, I love me some Robin. But it was funny. I went there expecting to see a sign saying $3, $4, $12.75. Really? $12.75? You want $12.75 for a goddamn gallon of gas? Oh, bullshit. I ain't paying that. But you know what? You know what made me not complain about it so much? The dollar exchange. That what curved my black ass. I left America with $3,000 because I figured that's all I was going to have to spend. You know what the dollar rate exchange was when I got there? 310 of their dollars for 100 of our dollars. I know you don't cipher too well, but you know what
I'm still working it. Yeah. But I get the point. I do. I mean, my little high-speed rail trip from Brussels to Frankfurt was nothing short of amazing. And I just sat there in slack-jawed awe, sitting across from him. Just sitting across from and chatting with a man from Cameroon. And it just blew my mind. I mean, the miles were zipping past. It was absolute wonderful air-conditioned comfort. And next thing I knew, you know, bang, Frankfurt, you know. It felt like civilization, Silent R. It was just simply amazing.
Well, you know what? It was a form of civilization that you wish that was here.
Yeah, I mean, I would give. Do you know when I would fly again if we had high speed passenger rail in the United States? Quick answer: never. Never. if I could hop a train that was zipping through Charleston, and you know, be in New York or I'd go once a month or something after the pandemic's over and everything. But we can't have that here at Silent R because we got Republicans.
That's the problem. We can't have good things because we have Republicans. You're not supposed to enjoy life. Your life is supposed to be miserable. And it is our 100% purpose and job to make sure that we achieve your misery. See, Republicans, I'm going to use a statement that everybody can relate to. There's a statement and a verbiage out there that misery loves company. Well, welcome to the Republican Party. They want misery and they want company.
Yeah. They want.
I don't want to be in that.
Yeah, they want you. They want you to have company in your misery while you know they're drinking. I don't know 3,000-year-old champagne out of a crystal shoe.
I'm like, I hope it crystallizes and you get a gout. So that would be my best wish for you. I don't want you to die. I just want you to get gout because that's the most painfulest thing you can get.
I've heard. I've never
the kidney stone.
I've not dealt with gout, but I've dealt with pancreatitis, and I can tell you that's a special brand of hell. Oh, and back to the beer conversation, Silent R. Jeremy in Vermont says just like Heineken, up in Canada, Molson tastes completely different and way better cold or warm on St. Catherine Street in Montreal than it does here in the U.S. in any container or temperature. Ooh, I bet it does.
I'm gonna put a kudos to him because I'm like this. If you can't drink the beer at room temperature, that is a shitty beer.
You know what? It's now a four cowbell call because that's the truth. Before refrigeration, the coldest that beer was ever served was either in the dead of winter in somewhere. Or at what is called,
reason why.
or broadly, what is known as cellar temperature. Now, you're an architect, Silinar.
Yeah.
All around the planet, doesn't matter where you dig your cellar, you get down far enough, and cellar temperature is the same the world over. And cellar temperature, cellar temperature is 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Rain or shine, summer
that
or winter.
True.
And so before the advent of refrigeration and outside of winter, the coldest beer that anybody ever drank was 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, I'm going to just say it this way. Why do you think they all like to go to Colorado and all the areas like Wyoming and them places where it gets down to 30 plus or 10 degrees below zero? Because it was cold beer. The shit came right out the tap, and it had no refrigeration back then. If you wanted an ice cold beer, you had to go north. Now, if you wanted a warm beer, you went south. You go down to Mexico and get you some tequila or Tecate or whatever they had.
You remember what Jimmy Buffett sang in Cheeseburger in Paradise? He said, "Warm beer and bread, warm beer and bread. They said could raise the dead, but it reminds me of the menu at a Holiday Inn." And now Holiday Inns don't even have restaurants anymore.
Well, hell, you know what, Bob? You and I were born in the era that we have to either hold the memory or fight to get them back. The Howard Johnsons and all those places were better. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I tell him, I said, the best food on the highway today are a good truck stop.
Oh, yeah.
What most people don't realize, Howard Johnson's were a truck stop, but they also accommodated the family.
Yeah,
I bet you don't even, do you remember Smucker's?
Smucker's? Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, you get hurt when you talk about Smucker's. You pull over to the side and you can get jammed, the little artisserie stuff and everything they had in the store.
The other one, more to the East Coast, was along the highway, was Stuckey's.
Oh, I had a couple. Well, you know what?
Those pecan log rolls.
Lord have mercy. Don't
and the pra- and the pra- and the and the pralines.
Yeah, the pecan logs were sold from Arizona all the way back to the East Coast, okay? Couldn't find a pecan log on the West Coast, but you could so find them past Arizona. Oh, my God, my mother and my grandmother loved them pecan logs.
Oh, and
I kind of grew to like
them,
and
they show up in the grocery store every now and then. I can find one up at the Wiggling Pig, and I brought several home to Agnes, who enjoyed them immensely, but... There's just the Stuckey's would have a little, you know, lunch counter back in the back, and you know the hamburgers they fried up were real hamburgers. They weren't coming out of the freezer. They were those things were magic, and that's the big thing for me when I'm traveling now. I look for somewhere that the cooking is done, and it's not a matter of pulling something out of the freezer and throwing it in the fryer basket, or pulling it out of the freezer and throwing it in the microwave, or it, no. No,
yeah,
I like.
I know
cooking.
You know. I know you like cooking. I love cooking too. Now I had to get back to the Wiggling Pig because you always scream out loud about the Wiggling Pig. Now my folks are in Dallas. I mean, are in Texas. I let me put it this way: I will have a hard time trying to figure out what part of Texas I don't have relatives in. Okay, so. When you sit there and say the Wiggling Pig, now you're not talking about Piggly Wigglies, are you?
Yes.
I had a girlfriend who worked at the Piggly Wigglies. I'm going to take a little offense if you're talking about the Wiggling Pig.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a conversation for another day. But I just had to ask you, because you sit there and say the Wiggling Pig, and I'm like, Wiggling Pig? I don't know about the Wiggling Pig. Can he be talking about the Piggly Wiggly?
Yeah.
Hell, you can't go to that. I mean, that's the only major supermarket that you got out that way is the Piggly Wiggly.
That was the first grocery store chain in America. Piggly Wiggly.
And like I said, I ain't gonna argue. They had good food. I ain't gonna argue about that stuff. But you know, it was just, that just tickled me because I said, you said the Wiggling Pig, and first thing Ken said, he's not calling the Wiggling Pig Piggly Wiggly. But I never got the opportunity to call and talk to you about that. I'm taking that chance. I'm taking that opportunity today. And you've clarified that for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I think it's one of the it's one of the very only few in the entire state of West Virginia, and because and part of the reason I love them so, Silent R, is it took more than 2 years, but the young man who manages that store up there never gave up, and he eventually got my Kaneka sausage into Piggly Wiggly, and now it is the only grocery store in the entire state of West Virginia where you can buy a package of Kaneka, and I buy it frequently.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I like the Piggly. When I went down there to visit my relatives in Texas, Longview, Kilgore, I'm going to name the ones that are not so famous. Longview, Kilgore, Sweetwater, Gladewater, a couple of other ones. Odessa, everybody knows Odessa. And I got relatives in Bush's home area. Jesus. But I digress. I used to go to the Piggly Wiggly. The only thing I liked about Texas was the drive-up liquor store. I ain't got that out here. If I want to get some liquor, I got to pull up and walk in.
Got to get out of the car and everything.
That's the only thing I would like to bring from that area here. Pull up some little whippersnapper, as you understand what I'm saying, some whippersnapper comes up and says, how can I help you? I like to have a six pack of this and a fifth of Johnny Walker or in a fifth of Tennessee Green Label Jack Daniel's. I will bring it up for you, sir, right quick, sir. We sitting there thumbing our thumbs, and poof, guy comes and says, that's going to be about $37.40. Give him the $40, they keep the change, and drive off into the sun. Well, the moon set. Oh, God. Those were the days, though, man. Reminiscing is fun because, you know, I've told people, you know, the worst disease you could ever get, it's not cancer. It is dementia, where you lose your memory.
And you can't remember how wonderful life was. You're absolutely right, yeah, Simon.
That's the worst disease that has been introduced to man today. And what bothers me, on my wife's side, they suffer dementia. I watch my wife's grandmother die from it. I watched her father die from it. I see her mother developing it. And I'm like, I'm too old. And I don't like the heartache. That's a heartache, man. I mean, God bless me with the tolerance and patience. But it's hard, man, to see somebody that you love revert to an infant. And then you have to remind them to breathe and do stuff. Because, you know, I've seen it too,
and it's just heartbreaking. It's simply heartbreaking.
And to me, if you understand the human body, there are certain things that will not function unless your brain tells it to function. And dementia will shut down your vital organs in a minute.
It's hell.
And when it starts shutting, once they shut down your vital organs, you're dead. This is where they put you on the machine. To keep your body functioning and your lungs and stuff functioning. Most people don't even understand or realize what their brain does. They take everything. You know what? It's like I was preaching before. Most people take everything for granted, and everybody's on this microwave mentality. And the microwave mentality really frustrates the hell out of me. You need to learn how to go in the kitchen and cook and learn patience on preparing your food. Don't sit there and expect the George Jetson thing, you push a button and you got a 13-course meal in front of you. That's bullshit. That is bullshit. But right now we have a microwave mentality, which I blame McDonald's for. You walk in, you got them cheeseburgers waiting on you, a heat lamp on your punk ass, and you walk out. That's bullshit because I was lecturing. This was, okay, 7 years ago. I was lecturing to the kids, to my students, and I told them, I said, you guys don't even, you have no concept of time. And he said, well, Mr. So-and-so, let's do a little time travel. Let's do a little time work. When was the Civil War over? They said, 1865. I said, good guess. Great acknowledgement. When were civil rights granted? 1965. Okay, great. 1965 and 1865. How many years was that?
Even I know that's 100 years.
Okay, that's 100 years. So it took 100 years for us to get this, and you expect something to happen overnight? Wake the fuck up. Like I was telling my mother, there's two things that are slow as hell. The government and justice. This is why they have limits of whatever they, what's that word they call it? Limits. If you did shit in this year, you got 5 years for them to prosecute you. Statutes of limitation. That's why they put statute of limitation on a lot of things, because they're really minor. But the thing is this, one thing I have learned, law enforcement and government are the slowest moving things in the world. Unless they want your ass in jail, then it happens overnight. Like, push popcorn, 2 minutes later, pop, 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 all your shit's popped up. And like this guy who did the shooting in Colorado, they're working right now to try to pin some type of jihad or whatever on it, because they found out.
Well,
because
he got an Arabic name, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's probably a member of ISIS or something. Meanwhile, vanilla ISIS attacked the Capitol on January the 6th. Just saying. By the way, you got a note from Clarence in formerly of Philadelphia, now of South Carolina. And Clarence, subject line, Brother Lamar, tell Lamar I really dig his style. He sounds like an OG who knows what time it is. The brother gets my ghetto geek. The brother gets my ghetto geek seal of approval. That's not an insult. It's a seal of honor. I'm from the hood, but I understand the world outside that environment. Lamar is on point with his views. Also tell him I served in the military with two brothers from Gladewater, Texas. Their names are Lorenzo Rhodes and Larry D. Wallace. So, you've got.
Hey, like I say, Lorenzo is a staple of names in my family tree. So, I am strictly a ghetto rat or hood rat or whatever you want.
Hey, can I share something with you?
Shoot my brother.
It is not that far from the holler to the hood. You know how I know? Because I have ancestors. I have a grandfather whose middle name was Ferdinand. Okay.
Oh man, that was interesting.
And I got another grandfather whose name was La Viggy. You want to tell me either one of those names wouldn't be gold in the hood? Because it was gold in the holler, I promise.
Oh man, like I say, let me give you a general idea. My uncle was named Lorenzo. My nephew is named Lorenzo. And also Lawrence is another prominent name in our family tree.
Another way of saying Lorenzo.
So it was Yeah, so it's just really weird. Like I say, like my buddy.
Well, I'm gonna blow your mind a little bit more, Lamar. That grandfather of mine. Okay. That grandfather of mine, whose name was LaViggy. LaViggy's middle name was Lawrence.
That's why I take offense when people want to pick on the name Lawrence. Wait a minute, I resemble that joke.
Indeed. But hey, Lamar, there's folks trying to get in, but man, I have enjoyed this conversation. You have no idea how much. I really, really do. You just chime in anytime, you hear?
Okay, I just want to share with the other person who served. I almost went to Vietnam. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I miss going to Vietnam by a cunt hair.
Ow.
I lost
Don't
13
like that word.
Brothers. I lost 13 cousins. Well, 13 cousins went in. Only 3 came back.
God almighty.
So I don't too much care for Nixon's war. And people who are educated know that Nixon wanted that war when he was vice president with Eisenhower. Kennedy wouldn't go for it, but he duped Johnson in the start. And he came up and said, you know what? I know how to stop the war. He knew how to stop the war because he started the shit. He didn't lie to people. He said
the first
he
troops
to
went. Yep, yeah, that's absolutely, you're absolutely right. The first troops went in under Eisenhower. Military advisors, they called them. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a military advisor face down in the mud rots just like a soldier does when they're dead.
You got that right.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm like this. I don't want to get into all that. I will call you again when I can find enough nerve and take the time out of my schedule.
You did not seem to be lacking in nerve this evening, Silent R. So I think you're doing just fine. And let me suggest one thing. On the way out the door, if you've got Netflix and you have not seen The Trial of the Chicago 7 yet, it is a movie not to miss.
I don't want to watch. I remember I lived the Chicago 7. I'm not ready to watch it because I'm not ready to see how they flipped it or tweaked it or whatever. Because I'm going to tell you right now, just between me and you, the Black Panther Party is emerging again, but they're not calling themselves the Black Panther Party, and they are now originating in Louisiana. They are a military group of ex-veterans who have decided that they are going to protect Negro population. But nobody wants to talk about them, which I'm glad they don't want to talk about, because when we pop up and show up, they're going to have hell, because I get a kick out of everybody talking about Antifa, Antifa. Well, you know what? Where was Antifa before Trump?
Well, before...
There was nowhere around because Antifa.
You don't have anti-fascists until you have fascists, Silent R.
But see, that's the point, that they're so stupid that they can't figure that shit out. I'm like, the nose on your face, you still can't see it if you look down. Damn, is your nose that small, or do you have a nose? That's the point I'm getting at. And they want to stick BLM at us. Say, okay, if you want us to show up, shoot one of us. We'll show up. Well, you don't shoot us, we ain't got shit to say to you. Simple as that.
Well, it's that film is it's an Aaron Sorkin piece, and he gets it right. It is not sugarcoated. It's brutal, and the two guys who play Bobby Seals and Fred Hampton, should get Academy Awards. I mean,
well,
wow.
I will try to watch it, because you're talking my era of when I was a juvenile.
Yeah, okay. You were 10 years old when that all went down.
Yeah, but see, I remember how they treated the Black Panthers and a whole lot of other organizations that wanted to solidify and do certain things. I'm like this. Mississippi Burning doesn't do real truth about those three freedom fighters, whatever, going out there and how they got murdered. They don't even talk too much. They kind of work their way up to that bullshit, and then they cut it short. And they don't even talk about the aftermath of all that bullshit.
Yeah, Schwarmer, Cheney, and Goodman.
Yeah, I'm like this. There are certain things I will watch, I would like to watch, but you know what? Like I tell my children, don't talk to me about shit I lived. Okay? I watched the watch riots from my fucking backyard. Let me tell you, you know how the watch riots got started? Some white cop killed a black person. Amazed, a gasp. Well, guess what? All the riots have been behind what? White cops killing black people. Amazed, a gasp. Rodney King, six white cops beat a Negro down. Whoa. What this, that, and the, but you know what? Until certain population understands that a group of their people are not functioning correctly, we're not going to have a legitimate situation. Like I tell my friends and I told my mother, the problem with America is white people. But the solution for America is white people. What a conundrum we have.
I know.
I'm going to leave on that note.
Silent R, you have yourself. This has been a magnificent conversation. We've been all over the place, and I'm awfully glad you called. I truly am.
Well, you know what? You're the main reason why I'm all over the place. You never come up with a subject I can just stay in the same ballpark. I got to spread the ball around. Shit.
Throw it around the horn.
Hell, if you would come in and give me one, if you give me left field to shoot for, I would shoot for left field. Because I used to be my mantra, remember? I'm out there in left field, send the guys with the butterfly net to bring my ass in. Now you got me all over the outfield.
All right, let's make it a five cowbell call, Lamar.
You got me all over the outfield now. You spread me all out.
Hey, you have been awarded an official title as of right now. Tom in sunny San Rafael just wrote in and said, what a great conversation. I propose that Silent R. Lamar's name be upgraded to Lamar the Magnificent, and I am in agreement.
Okay,
you are now Lamar the Magnificent.
Thank you. Like I say, I love you like a brother. And I will always treat you as a friend, like Spock say. You're my friend and shall always be my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, I'll be damned. Let me answer this. I got an elementary school friend calling me. I'll talk to you later.
All right, you take care, Lamar. Bye now.
Bye.
That's our buddy Silent R. Lamar, and I tell you what, one of a kind. And this is the heart and soul of what this program is. Conversation that can be at times funny, silly, and then earnest as the day is long. And I thank Lamar for everything that he brought to the table. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy took it upon himself to go ahead and finish the Progressive Rock Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. That means we got $250 to go in fundraising for this prayer meeting Wednesday. And I heard a box of Kleenex open up as the deacons took to weeping, but we'll get there. And I had a note, speaking of Tom awarding a title to Silent R, Lamar the Magnificent. I had a note from Tom earlier. The subject line was vaccine reactions and a drive through Marin County. Oh, I'd love a drive through Marin County. I've been catching up on a couple of programs I missed last week and thought I'd throw in my couple of cents worth. My wife and I have both gotten both doses of the Pfizer vaccine. She's a retired nurse, much in demand because she's fluent in Spanish and has been volunteering a couple of times a week giving vaccines at our county-operated dispensing points ever since the shots became available. She's been working mostly at our county civic center where Gattaca was filmed, by the way. Our small county, 260,000 people, is doing reasonably well at getting vaccines into arms. Small county, 260,000 people. Yeah, got it. We have two main county PODs, points of dispensing, that have ramped up to 2,000 to 3,000 shots per day each, plus many smaller points at clinics, pharmacies, hospitals, etc. Vaccine supply is always the limiting factor. Kaiser is now dispensing at a similar rate now that they're getting enough supply. They insure around 25% of the state's population, including me, but at first we're only getting 10% of the vaccine supply. These larger PODs are quite an operation with 200 or more people working, many of them volunteers. Because it was where I was able to get an appointment, I went to our big drive-through POD at the ferry terminal that doesn't need its parking lot due to reduced ferry commuting. It was very efficient, with many lanes set up with traffic cones, people directing, traffic based on your appointment time, people with iPads taking data and making second appointments, nurses giving shots and filling out vaccine cards. They had 10 lanes to drive up to little tents to get the shot, where they write your injection time on your windshield, then you're directed to the appropriate lane to wait either 15 or 30 minutes, depending on your medical history, before they send you on your way. We have the highest proportion of older residents in the Bay Area, and one of the challenges has been helping elderly people make appointments since that's all done online. The county has set up a telephone hotline to help with the non-computerized set. The reaction to the shot is highly variable. My wife had only a mildly sore shoulder for a few hours both times. I had a mildly sore shoulder the first time, and the second time I had some muscle and joint aches and a headache. But not bad, really. But we know several people who were really laid low by the second dose. From what I understand, a strong reaction is probably a good thing. It means your body's building strong immunity. My wife is a little worried that she may still be vulnerable because of her weak reaction. On another note, you really need to write that story about your high school gym fortune-telling experience in Aftermath. That was powerful. Every so often you leave me stunned. Stunned me, Tom. It blew me away standing there in the self-checkout at Kroger. I hate the self-checkout, but good luck getting a human being to check you out. It blew my doors off. Thank you, Tom. P.S. It strikes me as funny that the two places I've lived the longest are both mentioned in more or less popular songs. I don't think I'd ever heard the Smoke Off by Shel Silverstein until you mentioned it, but there it is. The town I grew up in is mentioned in the Beach Boys' Surfing USA, Pacific Palisades. In 1957, it was a place where an engineer could buy a house and raise a family. No more. There's so many places in this country that are no more, as far as that's concerned, Tom. Thank you for all of that input, Tom. I appreciate it. We all do. Because, you know, there are still a lot of people out there waiting for the vaccines, and a lot of people are nervous and worried. It appears to be working to one degree or another. I can't wait until a week from tomorrow when the boss and I go over and get our second shot. Like I said, anecdotal evidence suggesting that pounding a quart of Gatorade and really, really super hydrating seems to help offset the ill effects. I will say that the headache I did get with the first dose, It was a doozy. I mean, it was sharp. It wasn't like a headache I'd had before. And it came back about a day later. But since then, everything's pretty groovy. Wow, did I just say groovy? I think I just said groovy. You'll have that. Somebody was trying to get through while I was talking to Silent R. Lamar. If you want to try again, you're more than welcome. The line is in fact open. And in the because of the topics that Lamar the Magnificent raised, I felt like it might be beneficial to call attention to you remember Cindy Hyde Smith, one of the two senators for Mosulipistan. You might remember she was caught putting on a Confederate uniform down at the building, the house, that is still preserved as a shrine to Jefferson Davis. Yeah, that Jefferson Davis. Cindy Hyde Smith went down there and handled a musket like she'd like to, you know, take a few pot shots at some Yankees and put on a Confederate kepi hat. Well, still wasn't enough to keep her from getting elected in Mississippi because, well, voter suppression, why not? And so now that the issues of access to the polls and access to the ballots are being shared and discussed via H.R. 1, well, they had a little set to in the Senate with the Republicans declaring that they don't like the idea of any voting or anything else taking place on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, I was raised in the South, and I remember one day I cranked up the lawnmower because I was getting behind. And this is when I was a kid, and my mother came right out the door and said, "No, we are not going to mow grass on Sunday. It is a day of rest." Mother, I got work to do. Not on Sunday, you don't. Doesn't seem to hold as much sway anymore because many are the days that in warm weather. God, if warm weather's coming, it's going to be so wonderful. Around hereabouts, it's nothing to, you know, get up Sunday morning and hear the merry shriek of a weed eater. Yeah, that's my weed eater noise. So maybe the piety's down a little bit, but not in Mississippi. Oh, no. No. Cindy Hyde-Smith had to unlimber herself of her opinion on Sunday electioneering. She really does have the classic definition of a tin ear. And back in 2018, when she ran against Mike Espy, that I remember we talked about this at length on the program. She joked about how a cattle rancher in Mississippi by the name of Colin Hutchinson, who was praising her effusively. And Cindy Hyde-Smith said, "If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row." Because there's nothing, when you're campaigning for a Senate seat in Mississippi, there's nothing like a good old-fashioned lynching joke to really, really warm the cockles of your electorate's heart. And by the way, she went on to win, of course. Because Mississippi, goddamn. By the way, a note coming in from Kevin. Kevin said he's seen the Chicago 7, the Trial of Chicago 7, the movie twice, and added, "The wisdom I get from people like Lamar and Scott, Laborman, can't put a price on it, and everyone else in the Horn Family Community Congregation, too." Thank you for that, Kevin. That's the way it's supposed to work. Thank you for that very kindly. And a bit of breaking news from Axios, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. "New evidence suggests far-right groups coordinated ahead of Capitol siege." Darlene says, "I hope they follow this all the way to the rotted head on this. If they don't, then we all need to raise a major stink." Have them raise hell. And just the précis from the story. "New evidence suggests far-right groups coordinated ahead of Capitol siege. A leader of the far-right Oath Keepers said he organized an alliance between his militia group and members of the Proud Boys in the weeks leading up to the January 6th Capitol, not riot, Axios, insurrection, according to new evidence submitted by federal prosecutors." The story's all over at Axios if you want to go and find it. Yeah, I still think I have modified my idea about a special counsel. The special counsel needs to be appointed to look at the organizing and all the people and groups involved in organizing and funding and promoting the insurrection at the Capitol. and then they need to do prison time. So anyway, back to Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, who doesn't want folks voting on a Sunday. No.
Very much. For
Thank
that.
You.
Senator Schumer's question was, he was wondering why on Sundays Georgia would not participate in an electoral process.
And, of course, you know the subtext of this in terms of Cindy Hyde-Smith. She's a good Christian, yes. When she references Cindy, when she references Senator Schumer, the subtext is, well, he doesn't understand why we wouldn't want to do that on Sunday. Because he's a Jew. He's a Jew is what he is, Jew. Right.
Of gathering signatures, of registration and things on Sunday. And I would just like to respond to that. Georgia's a southern state just like Mississippi. I cannot speak for Georgia, but I can speak for Mississippi on why we would.
How about that? It's not Mississippi, it's Mississippi. Isn't that cute?
Never do that on a Sunday or hold an election on a Sunday. You know, this is our currency. This is a dollar bill. This says the United States of America, in God we trust. Etched in stone in the U.S. Senate chamber is in God we trust. When you swore in all of these witnesses, the last thing you said to them in your instructions was, so help you God.
I'll bet it wasn't. Because she was speaking to Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. And unless things are really different in the Senate of the United States, they dropped so help you God a long time ago. I mean, even here in West Virginia, you swear a witness in a courtroom. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And that's the end of it. Because it's kind of unconstitutional to make somebody swear to God when they might not necessarily believe in God. And the other side of that is that it gives a potential liar an out. I swore to God. I don't believe in God. But, you know, that's why, you know, but of course, it has everything to do with the efforts primarily of African-American churches to get people involved in the electoral process. The words of Bishop Reginald T. Jackson of the 6th Episcopal District of the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Georgia. He presides over 500 plus churches in that state. And Bishop Jackson said, we gather in our churches on Sunday morning. You have morning worship, and then after the service, you get on the church buses, church vans, get in cars, and people go to vote. And that's why we can't have no voting on Sunday. Jesus don't approve of those people going and voting at all, let alone on his special day. You understand? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Flavio points out, it's 2021. And this country still doesn't have an anti-lynching law. How about that? Let's run back over in the remaining moments of the program and see who we've got on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy Hump Day to you, Bob. It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia, talking.
Hey, Reggie, today. What's happening, man?
Well, nothing much, Bob. Well, first day going after Kamala Harris for allegedly laughing at a question that a reporter asked her about the immigration border. Then they jumped on her for not saluting the Marines, and now they're jumping on Representative Ihan Omar for, shall we say, racial, you know, saying that they're quick to racial profile, you know, mass shooters when they're non-white, in other words, black and any other color. So look how quickly that kid, you know, this past week who killed, you know, the Asian murderers, you know, look how quickly they went from him to this Muslim American person, you know, in what happened in Colorado yesterday. Look how quickly they went from Little Mr. Bad Day to this guy. You know what I'm saying, bro?
I do.
Look how quickly they switched him. And he jumped on her for bringing that up. He jumped on you know, Ilhan Omar for bringing that up. You know, she said it's funny that they're going after people who are non-white, you know, racially profiling them in the mainstream news media. But that white kid, you know, it's one and done, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean, Bob?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely do. And meanwhile, a little closer to home to you, Reggie, I mean, be careful when you're out and about. Do you know the Atlantic Station neighborhood of Atlanta? You know where that is?
No, not really.
Well, that's an Atlanta neighborhood where a guy got arrested when he walked into the Publix there, all gunned up, carrying 5 guns and body armor.
Right.
Rico, 22-year-old Rico Marley, charged with reckless conduct. Police were called to the grocery store. This is what the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said. Police were called to the grocery store just after 1:30 p.m., met with a manager who told them a man came in with a rifle and headed straight toward a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Officers at the scene spotted the man leaving the bathroom and quickly took him into custody. His weapons included 2 long guns and 3 pistols, all of which were concealed on his person. I'm still trying to figure out. I think that might be a little moment of bad journalism there. I don't know how you conceal 2 long guns. 3 pistols, maybe, but 2 long guns? I don't know. Officers and paramedics are still interviewing Rico Marley and conducted a mental health evaluation, and they're trying to determine why he had so many guns inside the store. Because, of course, you live in Georgia, Reggie, and it's no big deal for a guy, for, you know, somebody to bring a gun to the Publix. But it's why he brought so many guns to the Publix.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing a damn thing about it. Well, am I wrong for saying that?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong, Reggie. I don't think you're wrong at all.
At least the law got his ass. At least they got him before he could do anything. Before anything jumped off, you know what I mean, or popped off. You know what I mean?
Right. We might. The management may have been just a little bit more alert, shall we say, for young men toting weapons into grocery stores and such. Right. Yep.
That manager should get a raise. You know.
That manager did the right thing. Absolutely.
He should get a raise. Hell, a promotion. If you know what I mean. If only other managers all over this country would be more alert. You know what I'm saying? More managers were like this guy.
Well, I think more managers may be in the light of we had a grocery store shooting where a white guy went into a Kroger's in the Louisville burbs of Kentucky. And blew away a couple of African American folks, and then this in Boulder and that and it.
The vigilance,
Reggie, must be constant and eternal. Reggie, I got to roll out of here because we're right at the end of the program. But I'm glad you called, and we will talk more at a later date. Okay.
Okay, Bob.
All right, we'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk soon. Take care, Reggie. Watch your back.
You too, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
Yeah, you too, Bob.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye. And so we come to the end of the program. And what a program it's been. Religious lunacy and a great conversation with Lamar the Magnificent. That's going to stick. Thank you, Tom. And, makes me kind of eager to see what Thorn in the Side Thursday brings. Kind of. Or not. Knock wood. Thank you to each and every one of you who keep the program on the air with your subscriptions via PayPal and Patreon. We always need new subscribers. Thank you very kindly, Patrick in Germany, for your subscription over at Patreon. Thank you so very much. We always need new subscribers. That's how we make this a little easier to do. If you're thinking about it, let the side of you that is arguing in favor have the last word. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Some people do all 3. Patreon, PayPal, a la carte. Some people do 2, Some people, however you participate in keeping this program on the air, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you may so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you ever so kindly for making this program doable and easier to do. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best way to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org, all ready to get his vaccine. Thank you, Ben. Just keep getting better. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. It's a great time to help Coal River Mountain Watch by reaching out to your member of the House of Representatives and asking your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It's called the AIC Act. I gave it that name. And thanks to you for doing it. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you can't, take every possible precaution. Do everything you can to get a vaccine into your arm. Oh, yes. And in the meantime, treat it as your last line of defense, not your first. Just like Paul from Parts Unknown says, wear your mask. Wear a disposable over your good mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer liberally. Maintain your social distance, 15 feet between people wearing masks and, 15 area codes between you and someone who isn't wearing a mask. And for heaven's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, you know, down in Mississippi, we don't do nothing with elections on Sunday, avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Later.